What up, Whiskey Ginger fans? Welcome back to the show. Happy New Year. If this is your first time joining us, welcome. Spread the word. Tell some friends. Give us a good review on the iTunes and all that jazz or wherever you're listening or watching. If you're on the YouTubes, click that subscribe button and the notification bell so you know when we post. But no surprises here. We post every single Friday. Also, if you're looking for more content like this show, you're looking for extra stuff, we got a great Patreon, and on the Patreon, I do these Cheeto chats. I do one-on-one Zoom calls with people, and if you want to know what that looks like, check this out. How many Bobby Lees do you think you could beat up if they came at you in waves of five, says Tyler Groenwald? I could take out any nomination of Bobby Lees. They're short and fat and easy to stiff on. So, if you like that, subscribe to the Patreon, please. We could use your love. We appreciate the people that appreciate the show. It helps get this all going and running together. No dates for me yet. Not doing anything on the road until you know who, Rona, cuts it out. Cut it out, Ron. Other than that, go to AndrewSantino.com for the links to all the other stuff that I'm up to. Sorry, no dates, but get you that Patreon stuff. And if you're looking for some merch, we got great merch. If you're in the YouTube, look down in the bar below. Click on one of them shirts or go to AndrewSantinoStore.com. Even easier. Enough rambling. Let's go to the episode.
In here, we pour whiskey.
You're that creature in the ginger beard.
Sturdy and ginger.
Like vampires, the ginger gene is a curse.
Gingers are beautiful.
You owe me $5 for the whiskey and $75 for the horse.
Gingers, oh hell no.
This whiskey is excellent.
Ginger. I like gingers.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Whiskey Ginger. My guest today is one of my favorite people on earth. I say that for all my guests, but I mean it once again today. It's Russell Peters. Russ, cheers.
Cheers, Andrew cheers. Santino. I refuse to call you Cheeto.
Yeah, he won't. Russell was late, and I said, I knew he was going to be late, but I said that's a brown thing, not a black thing. Or it's a black thing, not a brown thing.
You know,
but
it
I guess
is,
you're
it's
included.
It's a non-white thing.
Right. But don't you think historically your people are always on time? My people...
I don't know. I know Indian people are generally late.
Are they really?
Yeah.
God.
Yeah, we're pretty bad at it, too. Like, I was hosting an award show in India last year, the GQ Man of the Year Awards. And
so were you really?
Yeah, in India.
Well, who won the GQ Man of the Year in India?
Oh, I don't remember. some
a
fucking
good
guy.
Host.
Some fucking guy.
Yeah.
So they said, I'm in the hotel. This is in Bombay. And they go, Russell, we're going to send somebody for your room at 8 o'clock. And the show will commence at 9 or 8:30. We'll bring you downstairs. We'll do the red carpet. We'll do the interviews, and then we'll start the show at 8:30.
Okay.
And I go, cool. And I'm never on time, but I was ready that day early.
Because you're in a hotel. Where you?
Yeah.
Like, where,
I was ready at 10 to 8, and I'm like, wow. I call my brother. I go, hey, I'm ready. He goes, yeah, they pushed to 8:30. I go, oh, come on. I'm fucking ready. The first time I'm on time.
Yeah.
And they pushed, and I go, okay, I'm going down to get a drink then. All right, so I go to the lobby bar. I grab a drink. My brother goes, I'll come down and meet you. And my brother comes down like 8:20. He's like, yeah, they're going to come at 9 now. And I'm like, Are you kidding me? So now I'm at like, by the time they got me, it was 9:45 or 10 o'clock or something crazy.
2 hours after they were going
to
supposed to
get
me.
Yeah, and I'm hammered now.
Right.
And they take me to the red carpet. I do all the interviews, but I kept drinking.
During the show?
Oh, yeah. So by the time we started the show, I was fucking lit. I'm like, welcome everybody.
When you get invited to do stuff like that in India, is your first reaction no, or do you love doing stuff?
No,
like
I love
that?
Doing shit.
You
like
do
that. I like hosting events like that. It's
see
fun.
That gets me all. I'm always afraid that, like, knowing my mouth, I'm gonna make an off-color joke or something stupid, and then they're gonna be offended by it, and I'm like, oh shit, I don't want.
I'm hoping for that.
You want to get canceled?
No, I just like,
we can do it today on the show.
Yeah, I'm sure we can. Yeah. You can get canceled doing anything.
Nowadays. No, not. You know what's so funny? I think comedy fans, particularly podcast fans, it's more of like no one gives a shit anymore. I mean, you actually learn most of the country and the world doesn't give a shit. It's an extremely small group of people that give a weird shit for no reason.
It's true, but and I've never actually physically met one.
Nobody does. They don't really exist.
I don't think that's what I
said.
Yeah,
they're Russian bots.
I agree. I agree.
I think they're fake.
The studios and the networks, they're all so fearful of it. And I'm like, what are you? Like,
yeah.
Nobody pushes back. Nobody fights back.
Well, you know the old phrase, if it messes with your paper. It's like as soon as it starts to get in the psyche of the big companies and networks that it's going to fuck with their paper, then immediately they're like, oh my God, are we going to lose money? They're so scared of the possibility of losing money, even if it hasn't happened yet.
Oh yeah, no, and that's what I'm saying. All they do is empower that shit.
I know it gets bad. Well, yeah. But you know what?
Well, look what happened to Chelsea with Netflix.
Chelsea who? Peretti?
Handler.
Oh, I was like, what? Oh, Chelsea, what happened on Netflix?
Well, she did. She was talking about it on Stern. She was saying that she did this documentary.
The show that she did. Oh yeah.
And that at the end of a shoot one day. So I guess they got something really good, and she was excited, so she smacked this woman on the ass, like, all right.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a black woman, and she, like, made a big deal about it, and she was like,
"That's what you get,
this is what we've been fighting against." Right. And she had to go to, like, sensitivity training.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the fuck? You could just be like, hey, well, don't fucking touch my ass, and then that's it.
It would have been great. Well, I mean, she used to be able to just knock someone out. She should have just been a slapped her or hit her in the face.
Yeah, turn around and be like, bitch, I'm going to punch you in your face to do that again. Right. Like, it's pretty simple.
And then it's all cleared
up. It's gone.
She did some stuff. I made fun of her on Twitter. I mocked her real hard on Twitter just because she did the thing with 50 Cent, and she was like, I reminded him he was black and that he can't vote for Donald Trump. And I was just like, this is such a corny approach to be listen here, colored boy. You don't. I was so annoyed at that whole thing with 50 Cent. And also, then 50 Cent, who has every right to be a Trump fan if he wants to. I don't care who people vote. That's your choice.
Yeah, I don't think he's a Trump fan. He just liked the tax policy.
No shit. So did everyone that did vote for him.
Yeah.
So did all these executives that we're talking about that run these studios.
Absolutely.
So the fact that like he then has to come out and apologize publicly and be like, I'm sorry, I'm not going to vote for Trump, is like... To me, it's the epitome of what's wrong with what's going on.
Yep.
It's like you're supposed to feel bad about whatever. You know, I think that's luckily all that shit is in the past now. This whole fighting with the Trump thing, unless he never leaves, he might just be like, I'm here now. I'm living at the White House.
I think it's gonna be hilarious in January. See what happens
when they try to get him out.
It's gonna be hilarious.
It'll be like the groundhog. You know, if they like to pull him out of the hole.
There he is. It's gonna be whack-a-mole.
Yeah, whack-a-mole him out of the White House.
There is he.
Get out of here, Trump. No, I mean, you know what? We'll see what happens next year. It's just all this is going to become is a fight to talk about who was the real vaccine credit. Who gets the credit for the vaccine? Because he's still online tweeting, talking about like I'm doing the job to get the vaccine out early and not divulging information of Biden's camp, which I think that's all it's become is a rat race of politics of who gets the vaccine credit. Are you going to take it?
I don't know.
Yeah, interesting, huh?
I don't know.
You're like the fifth person that said no or I don't know to me.
Yeah, I don't want to say outright no because I don't know.
Right. Well, because...
But I'm also not a fucking sheep where I'm going to be like, yeah!
Right. You know? Like, do you get flu shots?
No.
Yeah, I've never done
a flu shot. And I've gotten the flu maybe twice in my life. You know what I mean?
Like, I got it one time, but I never get the shot because I learned from a friend, a family friend, who is a doctor, who was like, it's 56%. Accurate?
Yeah, I don't want that.
I was like, what? I was like, our whole lives I thought if you get it, you're good. He's like, no, it's less than 60% consistently every year is typically around the number of efficacy of the flu shot. I was like, that's crazy.
Yeah, you might as well go play slot machine.
Right, it's the same shit. Yeah, let's go to black.
Playing the same odds.
Yeah, I didn't get it. I've never gotten it, but people around me. And now that I had the Rona, my doctor told me not to get the flu shot. But they are saying... There's publicly people saying you should get it even if you had Rona.
I'm not buying it.
I know. Show everyone your perp drink that you came in here with, by the way.
I came with my little...
Russ once again wanted to prove that he is culturally black because he's matching his outfit. His shoes are fly as fuck and they're clean. He's got his perp drink. What's inside of there, by the way?
So it's a sun-kissed grape, sugar-free, no calories.
Really? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Do you love that stuff?
I fucking love it. I drink way more water this way.
I don't drink juice. I just don't drink juice anymore.
No, it just tastes like fucking grape water. Do you remember in the mall back in the day, they used to have that bowl with the fountain drink in it?
Totally.
And like the grape would just cascade all around it.
You were obsessed, huh?
Yeah, I loved that drink when I was, and that tastes like it.
Where did you grow up?
In Toronto.
That's right. You're a Canadian cat. I forgot about
that. You grew
up
in Chicago?
Chicago, yeah.
But you're a redheaded guinea. How did this happen?
My mother was trying to find a way to get back at her father, and so she slept with a Sicilian kid in the neighborhood.
And what's your mom?
Irish. I mean, the most.
I mean,
she's a leprechaun.
Is she from Ireland?
She's 5'2". No, her parents are.
Oh, really?
She's a tiny little human. Yeah. She's all the Irish people. I'm 6'1". I'm by far the biggest leprechaun in the family. When I'm at the when I'm at the family functions and there's a thousand of us, mm-hmm. I'm like clear and present, the tall redheaded matchstick walking through the room. Everyone else is, I think the tallest guy in my mom's family is maybe 5'10", maybe 5'9".
What about your dad?
My dad is six. Well, he shrunk, but he's like 6'2", 6'3", but now
he had a
he's
a big guy. He was a big guy.
Sicilian. Oh, he was thick too. He was a big can.
You know, I don't want to know about all that.
Yeah, he was a big, yeah, I don't want to tell him to tell you anymore. I mean, you might have to kill you. I might have to kill you.
I saw your dick on something.
Mine?
Yeah, was it on fucking Whitney's show or something?
Did
not
I?
Not your dick. You had your underwear, and I go, goddamn fucking Andrew's.
Oh, no. It was on Bad Friends. We did a live with me and Bobby, and for promo as a joke, Bobby was like, someone had, Bobby will do anything for the joke. Bobby is, and they were like, someone had made a comment about I had not been wearing underwear, and they were like, prove it. And I said, I have underwear on today, and I showed the underwear, and then Bobby kissed me. He kissed one of my nuts. He kissed my left nut.
That's nuts.
Yeah, no, it was nuts. It was nut, singular. He only kissed one of them.
Fucking Bobby.
You know what I was going to wear for you today, by the way?
What?
I was going to wear a Jurassic 5 shirt. The thing that bonds us that you don't really know that well is I am a massive hip-hop fan. But
I did not know this.
But my generation, an underground backpack kid. I'm an 80s baby. Mm-hmm. You're a tad older.
I'm 50.
It's a little older, mm-hmm. but I wasn't going to do that to you. You did it. No, you still
How
look
old
good.
Are you?
You still look good. 37. Oh. I almost said 36. I'm 37.
Oh, you're a backpack kid. Okay. So you liked all the Slum Village and
loved. Well, I mean, and most of what AC I grew up Alone with was and loved AC Alone.
Loot Pack.
Yes. Loot Pack was great. I mean, I loved Midwest. A lot of Midwest stuff. I mean, I've talked about it before. I liked, Atmosphere and Idea and Abilities.
But Atmosphere is spelled F-E-A-R, right?
No. Atmosphere spelled correctly, okay. I think. No, but it should have been Fear, huh? Yeah. Should we email Sean and tell him he should change it?
Yeah, I think it should be.
I was a huge fan of that. I mean, The Far Side was probably one of my favorite groups by far.
Far Side was the first time I ever got booed off stage.
Well, you opened for a Far Side?
Opened for The Far Side in 1993.
And you got booed off stage?
I got booed off
stage. Tell that story.
It was the first time I got booed. I was 4 years into stand-up. And
by the way, that is the shaky number. When you're under five, you're in this position where like you could be kind of getting really good, or you could be still struggling night to night, you know?
Well, that's the thing. I was on a roll doing well.
Right, you were killing every night.
And I was like, I got this, and this is my crowd.
These are my people!
Yeah, and it's Toronto. I'm like, fuck you, this is my city.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no.
Did you eat it, or was it just not received well?
I did everything wrong.
It was all you.
I had a friend of mine make me a baseball jersey.
Oh, dude.
Right?
Already.
And it said Strictly Hip Hop on
it. Oh, no. Do you still have it?
No.
Bro, that's something you save.
And I wore red jeans because that's what you were wearing back then.
Right.
But here's where I went wrong. I put on the baseball jersey and I tucked it in.
What? Why, bro? All the way around? A 360 tuck in?
I tucked in my fucking jersey.
Silly stuff.
Yeah, and everyone's like, who the fuck is this? Get this fucking nerd out of here.
Wait, so did you literally get booed? Was it an actual boo?
Oh, boo. Like
my get the mouth, fuck off stage.
Yeah. My mouth went dry and when I used to box, it's like when you get caught, you get hit on the chin and the room sounds like it's doing this. Like
woo, yeah, it's starting to close in on your head.
And you're like, fuck. And I'm like, I just want to die right now.
Did you finish the set?
No, I just got off and everyone Smart. Was like, boo, motherfucker.
See,
boom.
I always say, get the fuck off. Yeah. Don't finish. Don't be the guy that's like, no, I'm going to go through with it.
And then the next, but then I felt better because there was a group opening for them after me, a group from Toronto called Bass's Bass. And then they were on, and they were kind of popular at the time, but they weren't like for a hip hop show.
Yeah.
You know, they were like what's that? Like that early 90s trip hop type stuff. You know, like
who? Like who?
Like a Brand New Heavies type of sound.
Oh, yeah. It's more like
like an R&B live band kind of.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like Diet Roots almost.
Yeah,
more
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Yeah.
So they went on, and then the bass player starts playing boom, boom, boom. And he goes, can I kick it? And the audience goes, no, you can't.
Get off.
Get the fuck off. And I was like, okay, so that's two. I don't mind if I'm not alone.
Yeah, no, at least I've told this story before, but that's how I felt when I did a corporate gig and Joel McHale was with me and a comic named Gary Veeder from New York, who's phenomenal. And I bombed so bad. Alonzo was on it. I bombed so bad it was like it shook my core. But then I saw that everyone was doing poorly. It was in front of a Japanese businessman in Vegas. It was like, this was never going to go well. At circular tables eating dinner, no less.
Yeah.
So like turning around to see. But yeah, I almost wore my J5 shirt for you because that was another band that our group that I really liked that I thought, I really love Charlie Tuna. And they're
still. Well, it's the ambitious man with the.
Right?
Yep.
Well, it's the.
Oh, God. Everything about that,
so,
dude.
So Newmark is one of my good friends.
DJ Newmark.
Yeah.
So
he was
dope.
At my house a couple of weeks ago. We barbecued.
Because you're a DJ.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're, I mean, obviously everybody knows you're a stand-up, but you love DJing.
I've been DJing 35 years.
If you could flip and have the DJ career that you have with the stand-up career, would you do it?
My, the same career?
Well, I'm saying, like,
DJ?
The success you found like in stand-up.
Yeah, hell yeah.
You would, huh?
Hell yeah.
So do you think in another life, do you sometimes wish you stuck, like, just really went all the way with music instead of comedy?
No. No. I'm quite happy with the way it went.
Yeah, it's going okay. It's not bad, yeah.
And I love DJing, but, I see how much better most DJs are than me right now.
Sure.
Because I'm friends with, like, all these really top-level guys. So I'm like, when they come over and they're like, yo, that's nice. And I'm like, shut the fuck up. You'd murder me on
these
turntables.
You know what I mean? You know better. It is funny when somebody kind of... Well,
it's basically like an open
you.
Micer getting a compliment from a headliner.
Right, and you know
great
better.
Great set, man. You're like, really?
Yeah, but you're also like, shut the fuck up. Yeah, there's no way you really mean that.
Yeah.
So what was that like? Who did you link up with in the hip-hop world that kind of embedded you in comedy and hip-hop? Like, who did that?
Who made those links for me?
Yeah.
So Marco Polo. You know, like Marco Polo?
Mm-hmm.
Who you guys look like you could be related
yeah,
to.
Yeah, maybe could have been brothers.
Yeah, he's Italian. Marco Paolo Bruno.
Paolo. But I'm not, I look like the map of Ireland a little
bit. Yeah, but he's a ginge too.
I know, but not like this fade. This is so much.
No,
you know?
But he looks like he just got out of Auschwitz though, because he's really skinny.
Yeah. Like he's one that got
he's
away.
He's got like a big, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, Marco Polo's from Toronto.
Yeah.
And he did a beat for me for one of my specials. And then he was like, yo, is it cool if Craig G comes to the show? And I'm like, are you serious?
Fuck yes.
And then he goes, yeah. He goes, who else do you want to come? I go, who else do you know? And he started inviting all these old school rappers to my shows. So when I did Radio City Music Hall like 10 years ago, Pharoah Monch came, DJ Premier, Craig G, Master Ace. Everybody was there. And I was like, holy shit.
Yeah, it's
and you
wild.
Know, we all went and hung out, and then we all became really good friends. And like Lord Finesse is one of my best friends, and
Primo is the man. He's a big comedy fan. You know that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
well,
I know
a
this
big time comedy.
Yeah, Primo probably knows who you are.
No, we do. We've connected.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah, in fact, I was sitting in bed one night, and I told my wife, I said, "You know, how weird it is to be texting with like."
What you know, how weird it is to know I didn't know you were married.
Yeah, well, it's also because every time that you and I hook up, I don't tell you much. You know
you
what I mean?
You fucking treat me like a.
Well, it's okay. You're my side dude, bro. I told her, I was like, I'm texting with DJ Premier, and that's like the weirdest thing. And of course, it means literally nothing to her. But I'm like, that's like the weirdest feeling about someone I grew up like idolizing.
Yep.
And I say idolizing because I didn't, never, not like I wanted to get into music, but
it's
I
the just worst.
Was such a big fan of
same like
everything that
my
he did.
Son's mother, when we were together. And
we say baby mama in this room.
I go with that, sure.
You can say whatever
I don't
you
even
want.
Think I'm in that cute space with her.
Oh no, it's not like that. Yeah.
My son's
mother's so formal. That's it my is. Son's
it's
mother.
It's all very formal right now.
Right.
But Big Daddy Kane stays at my house whenever he's in town.
Really?
So she had no idea who Big Daddy Kane was. I go, he's like a legendary guy. I had posters on my wall. Oh, okay. So she would see him in the kitchen. Hi, Kane. Oh, hey, Mama. How you doing? You know. And she's like, he's really nice. And I go, he's fucking Big Daddy Kane.
Yeah,
she's
he's the best.
I don't know.
It doesn't mean anything, huh?
No, thank God my new girl knows. She's like more age appropriate, so she knows all the shit. Like
when, I get it, dude.
You know,
you always go. It always goes down the ladder. It doesn't go up the ladder. Yeah. I get it. She's closer to the. She understands it, right?
Yeah,
she understands.
Yeah.
It's also it's hard too to explain somebody like I don't ever fanboy out on almost anybody, and it's usually in a musician that. I love that most people don't know about or don't care about.
Right.
And so they're like, why are you so good? Like, I could be sitting at a restaurant next to Brad Pitt and I just couldn't give a fuck.
But I'd be like, oh, that's cool. I saw Brad Pitt.
I
today.
Guess. I'd be like, oh, neat. I get whatever.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I saw Brad Pitt, you know. But
you know, if I'm next to like, you know, if you end up next to like Greg Nice or someone that you're like,
no,
whoa.
Greg's one of my good friends.
Oh, so dope. So that to me would be like, that's
him?
Cooler. You gonna call him?
Let's call him.
Yeah, call him.
Let's call Greg
N-I-C-E. But that to me is always been cooler when you're like, oh, yeah, someone that I thought, it's mostly because it was influential as a kid. I think that's really what it is.
Let's see what he says.
Well, he's never going to know who the fuck I am.
He will. He's a comedy fan.
No, he won't know who I am. He'll go, who? No.
Yeah, tell him to hit me when he's in Atlanta.
I will. Yeah. So tell him to, you know. What time is in Atlanta right now? No, it's not that late. It's You're good.
9 o'clock.
Yeah.
Sometimes he goes months without answering his phone, though.
I respect that about people. I like that some people are just like, no, I'm not going to, I stay off my phone for a while.
Boo.
Boo.
Please leave a name and number. Thank you so much.
That's very, such a, what a polite voicemail. Well, tell him
the
I love him.
The last text I got from him was, I love you, brother.
That's a great text.
Yeah.
If anything goes south, you know,
and
at least
I
you had that.
You too, Gregory.
like a dad. You too, Gregory. Be well at school. Yo, have you been doing anything during pandemic, stand-up wise, or no?
Like the odd week, you know, like I did Addison Improv.
Yeah, how was it?
It was fine. It was in September, though.
Right.
And that's when I found out. I didn't find out. That's when I thought I had the COVID.
Really?
But I didn't know. I didn't know at the time. Retroactively, I went, oh, shit. I guess I did. Yeah.
But, I mean, how much traveling were you doing? Not a lot.
Not a lot. So that was like my first gig since July. So it's like every 2 months or 2.5 months I get a weekend. Sure. You know, I was supposed to be in Chicago this past weekend, but
closed.
Got canceled. Now
what were you doing in Chicago? What do you do when you
Schaumburg Improv.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. Where did you grow up?
Well, I grew up in the city till I was 11, and then we went to the western suburbs. I grew up right down the street from, I mean, in the same neighborhood as the Old Town Zanies, the one on Wells.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I was really close to that.
And what about Jokes and Notes? Do you ever play there?
No. Where's that?
It was a black club.
Oh, yeah.
Black comedy club.
No. No, I didn't do comedy in Chicago. I started
out here.
Oh,
you didn't?
No, I moved out here and did comedy out here. So when I go back to Chicago, to me, there was no, like, connective tissue to any clubs that I, like, had a thing about. The only thing
I... But a lot of great comics came out of there.
Totally.
Rocky Laporte's fucking hilarious.
There's a lot more comics that move to Chicago and then claim it as their own than physically are from there. I would say that.
Well,
there's a lot of guys that like move, like Kumail and Bronger and a lot of those guys, they moved from somewhere else.
Kumail started, is it from Chicago? Is that where he moved to when
that's
he,
where he moved
came
to
from
do
Pakistan?
Stand-up. Yeah, yeah. That's.
Oh, okay, I didn't know that.
But like a lot of guys claim Chicago. There's a lot of like comics, and that's totally fine, but that's because that's where they started it.
Right.
But I don't, born and raised in Chicago. There's only a handful of guys.
Laporte.
Dion Cole. Hannibal Buress. D. Ray Davis.
Little Rel.
Rel.
There's Mark Simmons.
I don't know who that is. I've never heard of that.
It's all the black comics. Because back in the day, I would go to New York and stuff, I could only get on the black rooms.
Really?
Like in the mid-90s. They were like, hey, you can get on. It'd be like Capone. Be like, yo, you want to do my spot in the Bronx at 1:30 in the morning? Yeah, fuck yeah.
Yeah, fine.
And then Keith Robinson and Patrice O'Neill, because I was staying with them on their couch. They'd be like, you're going to get kicked in your fucking throat tonight. What's going to happen to you? Like, what are you talking about, Keith? He goes, listen, motherfucker, I wouldn't do these rooms, and I'm black.
And you do them anyway.
I'm like, fuck it. It's $75. I need $75 right
season,
now.
What year was that?
96. That was 96.
Isn't that crazy to think that even in 96, people were getting paid $75? And then even now, even a couple years ago, L.A. still was chumping people on money.
Oh, yeah. It's the worst hustle in the world. Or best hustle for other people.
Well, it's the best hustle for the people that own the shit.
Yeah.
But I've always said that, like, this old rule that I got sick of observing was, like, that, you know, everyone in the comedy store, you know, if you're successful, it doesn't matter to you. But I always thought, so there's a lot of guys that like really, really need the money. And when they're getting paid only a couple of bucks to go up, you're like, that's beyond unfair.
Yeah.
I hope that changes after all this shit is over.
Oh, it won't. It'll probably get worse.
You think so? I don't know.
I mean, I'm going to do clubs now. Me and DL were talking about this. We're going back for two-thirds. We're going back for one-third of the pay we used to get.
Yeah, same. I just got a bunch of offers to try to do a bunch of rooms. Because they're half the room, right? Or whatever. The capacity level is different. But, I mean, is he okay, by the way?
Yeah, he's fine.
He passed out on stage, right?
No, yeah, that's when he had the COVID.
Right, he had it in Nashville.
Yeah, yeah.
The video looked concerning.
Yeah, he almost banged his head.
Yeah, he could have not. He could have really hurt himself.
Yeah, and then
he had no idea he had COVID, right?
No, that's when he found out.
That's what I'm saying. He's like functioning.
But he found out that he had Yamaguchi's disease or something. It's a heart condition.
Is that an anime thing? What is that?
It's Christy gave it to him.
She did?
Yeah.
She did a triple axel on his ass?
She did a triple axel on him.
Wait, what is Yamaguchi's
I don't know. He was telling me about it. I don't know the details.
It sounds like some bullshit.
Some pre-existing condition he didn't know about. And that's what triggered this and that and this and that.
Oh, wow.
Or rather, the COVID triggered it.
But he's fine now.
He's fine now, yeah.
Well, kids, you can live through Yamaguchi's disease, yeah, so don't worry if you get it.
If you can live through the Olympics, you can live through this.
Through anything. You were supposed to play what?
I was supposed to play Zanies about 2 months ago. And I was, because DL comes to my house, we smoke cigars together.
Oh, you big cigar guy, huh?
I just got into it over COVID.
Dude, you, Burr, a lot of these guys are like huge on it now. It's so funny. Burr got into it maybe a year ago because he stopped the sauce.
Yeah, that's weird.
No, I think it was because he misses having something.
Yeah.
And that you gotta grab something. So he loves cigars and he got Burr into smoking cigars. I feel like so many people I know, Rogan got into cigars a little bit.
Oh yeah, I was smoking one on his show when I was there.
Yeah, it's so why the cigar thing?
I don't, you know, at my other house I had a humidor. Uh-huh. It came with the house.
Right.
It was a big ass humidor. And then I get these really great Cuban cigars for really cheap. Angelo Sarukas.
You have the plug? Is that what
I got the plug.
You got the plug? Yeah, I would love one.
You smoke cigars?
No, but I want to give them out as gifts.
Oh, you should come over and smoke one with me.
I'll try one. I've smoked cigars 5 times in my life.
I'll give you the ones that I know you'll like.
Okay, great.
To start you off.
Right.
I had this thing in my house for years, and I'd buy cigars for Angelo. You know Angelo Sarukas?
No.
Big Greek guy, one of my good friends. He's from Canada. He lives out here. But he's a big cigar smoker, and I'd always buy him really nice boxes of cigars. So I'd keep them in my humidor for him.
Mm-hmm.
And then one day, he was over, and I was like, let me fucking have one of these. And I was like, under a lot of stress, and I was like, fuck, you know, this is nice. I feel relaxed doing
right.
this. And I got into it. And then when I got into it is when I started hanging around, becoming better friends with guys that I already knew.
Sure, it was
Cedric and DL and Anthony Anderson, and those guys would come over and we'd sit around and just be stupid and smoke cigars.
Right, it's a bonding experience.
It really
like
is.
Yeah, that's why I like drinking with friends, because that is the same thing to me as having a drink.
We have the drink and the cigar.
That's what they say. That's a great combination. Mm-hmm. But I smoked cigarettes for a while, and so I think now that I don't think it's going to trigger me to want cigarettes.
You don't inhale.
No, I know, but I'm saying there's something about that oral thing that. Really do you do love? Go ahead, I put it out there for you.
Uh-huh.
You're not gonna take it.
Nah.
I miss that. I do miss smoking. I'm not even gonna lie. I do miss smoking.
Is it the smoking or just the oral fixation?
I gotta have something in my mouth, man. You know that about me. No, I think it's you know really what it was like. Some nights I would walk to the store when I lived in West Hollywood for like 12 years, and I lived all close enough to walk to the store,
mm-hmm.
and then. It was a goal of mine to like live in a place where I could walk to. And then some nights I would walk. And if I was having a tough week or whatever, it was so nice to have a cigarette, because once that nicotine hits your blood, it just feels like it's almost like a mental check down. Your brain is like, you're okay. Like you're good. It's this thing that just mentally, it feels better. It physically feels better. It's a whole psychological thing.
So yours was about the nicotine then.
It also is the act of smoking.
Right.
But I think these things are intertwined. I think I think when somebody is addicted to nicotine and they get to a place when they can't go an hour without having cigarettes, well, then it's like you need to fix that.
Yeah.
But I wasn't so addicted where I needed one all the time, but I really wanted one. You know, once in a while I really wanted one, and it was a great relief in the weirdest way. You know?
Yeah, I think I'm like that with cigars now. Like I can go many days without it, and then someone's like, you want to go have a cigar? I'm like, yeah, let's go have a cigar.
Yeah, it's nice to have.
Yeah. It's the same with drinking. It's like, you know, I could go a couple of days, maybe weeks without drinking. Somebody's want to have a drink? I'm like, yeah, let's go have a drink.
See, I can't go weeks.
I could barely go weeks, but I'm just saying.
Yeah. I was just going to say, I don't know if that's true.
Maybe I exaggerated.
I can go a couple of days, and then after 3 or 4 days, I'm like, I'd love to have a drink right now.
Yeah.
But if somebody told me it was going to kill me, I'd probably
have doubles.
I'd probably drink until I died. Yeah, yeah. I'm not gonna stop now. You nuts?
I'd probably do doubles.
I got this far. Yeah. No, I think that it's always been, that I think smoking, because it was in my family too. And as a kid, growing up, everyone smoked.
I remember that.
And people smoked inside. Yeah. It was just so normal to smoke.
Family parties. The next morning, you'd go down the living room, and the house would stink like smoke and stale potato chips.
Stale potato chips and smoke. But all you have to do is open a window and air it out. It's not that big of a deal. And for some reason, in the winter, if you aired it out in the winter, it like got rid of it faster. It was like the cold wind just like it
froze the snow.
Smelled out the shit. Froze the shit and put it outside.
Well, freezers very rarely smell.
They don't ever, right? That's why you put your jeans in there. You know that?
What, to clean them?
You never heard about that? Yeah.
I've heard about that, but I've never done it.
I've done it. It's wonderful.
Does it clean them?
Well, yeah, because they say like big denim head people. Like, I'm not a denim guy, but like friends that I have, my friend's brother's like a denim freak, like collects like really high-end.
Dean Del Rey's like that.
He's huge into it. He's huge. He's huge. I mean, this guy that I know, my buddy's little brother, he's unbelievably expensive stuff. And he's like, you cannot put these in the wash. That's insane. He's like, if you are going to wash them, you hand wash them. But usually, people put them in the freezer, and it is apparently
disinfects them.
Yeah, it gets rid of any kind of staleness that's left in the jeans.
Huh.
It's interesting, man. I've done it a few times. I don't know if it works.
I buy. You know? I'm not joking. I buy $30 jeans from American Eagle.
No, you don't.
I swear on my kids.
Also, no, you don't. You have such nice clothes.
All my fucking jeans look really expensive, but they're $30 jeans from American Eagle. Like, because they have a little stretch in them. I like that. Then they got the rips and they got the different cuts.
But as a guy who does wear nice shit, I'm surprised that you don't. You seem like you would have expensive jeans.
No, I like nice suits.
Suits, shoes. What's your biggest indulgence financially?
Watches and cars. That's pandemic's common. Kicked my ass. I got rid of 4 cars.
Seriously?
Yeah, sold a bunch of watches. Yeah.
Did you sell the cars or are they... Are they leased cars?
A couple of them were bought, a couple of them were leased. I gave them all back.
So what do you do with the lease? You break the lease?
Yeah, well, you flip it all into...
Swap a lease or whatever, something
yeah,
like that?
Yeah, you do swap a lease. You do whatever you can to get out of it.
Well, what did you do? I'm curious. How did you get out of a lease?
One of them, I subleased it to another guy.
Smart. That's really smart. Yeah. Totally legal, too, by the way. I know.
Yeah, I made
him
do paperwork and everything for that.
That's great.
Yeah, went all through the lawyers and everything, so that I did that with my Rolls Royce. Because that was a payment I couldn't do anymore. So it's almost $5,000 a month for a fucking car. It's stupid.
Wow. That's a heavy hit though, huh?
Yeah, it's a heavy hit. So I was like, ooh, that's gone. And then I sold a Lamborghini truck.
Well, really? Did you get rid of it?
I got rid of the Urus and I traded it in for the Audi, which is $125,000 cheaper.
Same engine, by the way.
Same car.
Exact same engine,
same car, same technology.
Yeah, I'm a big car guy. That is the funny thing about why Audi did that. All the Audi family, by the way, that is the exact same engine that they put in there. The only difference I've heard, as someone who hasn't driven the Urus, is the throttle response is supposed to be a little bit better on the Lambo.
I honestly can't tell the difference.
Right. Most people say they can't, but yeah, that's the technical difference that Lamborghini claims.
I actually think that the Audi holds the ground better too.
Well, it's a little heavier, right?
A little heavier, and the tires are wider and bigger.
Right, sure. Yeah, I mean, look, it's so funny when you think about it. If you're a car person, like I love cars, and when you start to learn about cars and the tricks of cars, that you're like, sometimes cars are so overpriced.
Oh, it's stupid.
For no reason.
Yeah,
like, there's no reason.
Yeah, you're like, who the fuck's paying that? Oh, you know,
a lot of people.
Like people that spend $90,000 on a C63. You're like,
right?
You just paid $90,000 for a fucking C-Class, you idiot.
Yeah, or
what did
even
you get?
Worse.
Yours an E?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah. I'm like, well, you know.
I don't want to blow up spots.
Yeah, we don't.
By E, I mean Evo.
Ecstasy.
You bought an Evo?
Remember Ecstasy? No, I drive. Everybody knows. I've talked about it. I drive a Nissan Altima, and it's a 90.
But it's the E-Class.
It's a 99. It's a 99 Altima. Yeah. It's good, dude. It's a great car. And it gets 185 miles to the gallon. No, but
What was Brody's joke? Wood exterior?
Yeah, wood exterior. Yeah, yes. I miss that, dude. I think on my next run, I'm not going to lie, I'm probably going to go electric.
Really? There was a guy, there is a guy around the corner from my place who has a fucking Polestar.
I've seen those on
that
the road.
That shit is beautiful.
Yeah, it's gorgeous, right?
But it looks like the fucking Urus.
But I'm afraid it's going to be like the
Fisker?
The Fisker and blow it, set on fire and blow up. And then, you know those people that drive the Fisker? There's no dealership for that anymore? It doesn't exist.
There used to be one in Pasadena up until last year.
Gone, yeah. So now you have to go to a body shop that knows how to deal with those things.
No, I love the way they looked, but I sent my assistant to go drive it for me.
Yeah.
And he said, yo, this car drives like shit.
It was bad.
He said it's so slow, it's annoying.
People love it. Because
it looks fast.
Right. Yeah, it does look really fast.
It looks fast. And they weren't electric, they were hybrid.
Well, that's kind of like that BMW i8. That looks really fast, but it's not that fast.
No, and it's a fucking pain in the tits to get in and out of.
Oh, really? I've never been in one.
I was like, yo, this shit looks dope. Let me go try it out. I got to the dealership. I go, okay, how do I get in? They go, you got to fall in.
Yeah. It's on the floor.
The well between the door and the seat is this wide. It's like a fucking wide ass well.
Oh, so you have to jump in the
car.
And
then to get out, Like you fucking pull your groin to get out. 2 feet, you still can't get out because it's higher than the seat.
Sure, it sits lower. So
It was like a turtle on its back.
What are you? There's no electric in your family? No electric car?
No, I'm waiting for them to come out with something. Here's the thing, I like the.
What do you mean the Tesla Plaid? Do you know about that?
No.
You don't know about the Tesla Plaid?
No,
fastest electric car ever made.
I'm not worried about speed. I'm worried about comfort.
Oh, it is pretty comfortable. I don't like the Tesla seats. Right, they're standard. Right, they're like very standard run of the mill seats.
There's no like ventilation.
No, everything's up top. Yeah, they designed it cheaply because he wanted to spend all the money on the batteries. Those batteries are so expensive. No, the Plaid though, for real, it's an under 2 second sedan. It's the fastest car. Pound for pound.
For sure. I mean, that car's a rocket, but same time.
Yeah, it's not. Well, but he doesn't. I think his whole thing was he didn't want to continue to make upgrades to the interior because it's driving price tags up, and he wanted all the cars to be simple production line. So that's like the problem, right? You're like.
Yeah, I mean, I get his theory.
You like fanciness.
I like stitching in the seats. I like stitching in the seats. Right. I like comfort. I don't want to take my Tesla and have to go customize it myself. I mean, take my car to fucking West Coast, you know what I mean?
Right, dude. Get it done by, what's his name?
Chip Foose or some
shit? No. Exhibits up there or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? What was it called? Pimp My Ride.
Get
your ride pimped.
Galpin Auto Gas. Remember?
Get it at Galpin, dude.
Yeah, yeah. I had something done at Galpin once when I had my first Rolls Royce.
How many Rolls Royces have you had?
I've had...
By the way, we're talking rich money. I don't know anything about... his world. I'm just relative to it, so it makes sense to me. But like,
I've had 3 or 4.
Crazy.
But I mean, I never ever kept them.
What do you mean?
Because they look really cool, but you feel like a dick driving it.
Well, but why? That's a projection thing. You feel like other people think you're a dick because you're driving it.
Yeah, you feel like an asshole.
You feel like the asshole.
I feel like an asshole.
Because there's a lot of guys that drive those things that couldn't care less what other people think.
I feel like an asshole driving it.
So it's all projection.
I was like, I don't like what I'm putting out there.
So you get one, you get rid of one, you've never cared.
Yeah, because I'm like, oh, well, it's so cool. And then I'm like, what a dick you look like.
Sure. I mean, you know.
That could be my Canadian side. I would like a Cullinan.
Oh, really?
I love those. I fucking love the
Cullinan. You just got rid of 4 cars now, right? And yeah. You're ready to like juice it back
up. I'm not
going to
do nothing, but I have 2 Audis. That's it.
That's all you got left?
Yeah.
Wow.
An RS Q8 and an S8.
The S8's fun. Huh?
It's a great sedan.
So you have those 2 whips and that's it. Lambo gone. Rolls Royce gone. What was the other ones?
Beamer gone.
What Beamer did you have? M5?
750. The new one.
The big daddy.
With the M package, and I had it with, it was black matte paint from BMW.
Damn.
Red leather interior was beautiful.
I want to be like you when I grow up.
But I was like, I never drove it. What was the point?
And what was the other one?
An M850.
That's a bad fucking car. I had
the first edition that had the Swarovski crystal on the
in the dial
shifter.
Oh,
and everything.
My God, yeah. Dude, that's bananas. So yeah. What do you got to give all that stuff back? And you're like, I just gotta get rid of it.
I just didn't need it. Everyone was like, how many cars are you going to drive? You know what's funny is, not to name drop, but Lennox Lewis, when I first started, because we grew up together.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Like in the same neighborhood? What do you mean?
I was an amateur. He was an amateur at the same time.
Sure.
So we would see each other at tournaments.
Right.
I wouldn't be fighting. He would. And I mean, it would just be like, hey, man, what's up? You know, good fight. And
right.
It wasn't
right.
anything more than that. But then as we got older and I got in the business and he became heavyweight champion, I was like, hey, I remember you from... You know, and I was like, yeah, that was, I remember, you know, and right. Then we became much better friends over time.
Wild.
To the point now, actually, I'll show you, there's this video. I'll send it. I don't know if you can put it on the
I'll put it on
the podcast.
Yeah, we'll put it right here.
Yeah, it's a video of him with this suit he just had made, right?
Yeah.
This is like from September.
Right.
Anyway. But anyway, long story
short. So he gave
you
a shout out?
No. He had a suit made, right? Huh? In 1996 or 7, I was at his house in London, 97, 98, whatever it was.
Sure.
Back in the day. I was at his house in London to visit him. And he was like, I go, where's your title? So he pulls out his WBC belt and I'm holding it. And I go, let's take a picture. So I took a picture of me holding the belt and looking at him like we're facing off.
Wild.
And I recently found the picture like last year.
Oh yeah.
So I sent it to him. I go, yo, check this. I remember this. He goes, holy shit. And he just had a suit made, and the lining of the suit is that picture.
No shit.
So the lining of a suit is a picture of me and him.
You got to send me that. That's wild.
Yeah, so it's pretty cool.
That is really cool.
Yeah, so that's...
How old were you guys when you first met?
Let's see. If I,
Lewis, man.
If I was like, you know, 16, 15, 16, he's what, maybe 4 or 5 years older than me.
Are you boxing anymore? You don't box anymore.
No, I do jiu-jitsu.
You do. You're into all that shit.
I was late today. I trained and I got to training late and then...
You get to training late and it's a
fucking domino.
It's a domino effect.
And then after I had to go and eat and then I was like, got home, then I showered.
Are you eating healthy?
I'm trying. Do I look okay?
I'm not judging your physical form.
I think you are.
I want to know about your inside. That's what matters.
I'm trying to eat healthier.
It's impossible, dude. I gained 10 pounds over COVID.
Did you?
Yeah, man. And I've lost a little bit of muscle, which sucks because I can't work out the same way. Just schedules are different. The lifestyle is so different. It's just everything has shifted. So, and I'm quicker to say yes to pizza. You know,
I love pizza. Though.
Fuck, but that's my problem. Is like when I was doing shows every night, or I was traveling, or like when you're busy, it's so much easier to be conscious to go, hey, I can get a workout in the morning before I go do shows, or I can, you know, and I can get a good meal in the hotel, or I can go out to get a really good healthy meal.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It was just so much easier to live a little bit more conscious. But now, if I'm doing a bunch of bullshit and then I have a day and then I get home,
The trick for me is no snacking.
Yeah, impossible. Come on.
I don't snack at all.
Really?
Not at all. I don't snack now. And I used to eat till I was fucking stuffed.
Same.
Because we grew up with our parents like, don't waste.
Yeah, eat it.
Eat it.
Yeah, you had to eat it or you couldn't get up from the table. Yeah,
my parents are from a third world country. Do you know that your cousins are starving? And you're like, I didn't. Well, they are.
Would you have any smart ass rebuttal to that or no?
Oh yeah, well, why don't we
send it to them? Yeah, that's what I used to say to my mom. We'll send it to them. My dad was like, "What you fucking say?" But it's always that thing of like, I don't want to ever feel like, well, you should finish because it's stupid to not finish your meal and it's embedded into your brain.
Yeah.
And then as you get older, you're like, "Well, I should finish anyway. I'm hungry."
But then you go to restaurants that give you too much food.
Sure, and I'll take it all.
I ordered a chicken parm last night. It was this fucking big.
They're always absurd.
Yeah, I had this much of it.
It's a block of cheese on it.
Oh,
yeah,
it's so good, though.
It is good.
In here, we pour whiskey.
Whiskey Ginger is supported by Squarespace. Guys, if you've got an incredible idea and you're looking to put it to work on the interwebs, please use Squarespace. I use Squarespace. I think they're incredible. Beautiful, wonderful templates that are laid out very easy for you to use. And I'm a stupid person. I've told you this. I'm not a smart guy and I can do it. So if I can do it, you can do it. And it's much easier now than it ever was to make a website on your own. I know it used to be a troublesome thing, but now it's not. Showcase your work, blog or publish content, sell products online. If you're trying to sell some stuff to make some cream because times are tough, get on and do that. There's a powerful e-commerce functionality that lets you sell anything online. And a new way to buy domains and choose from over 200 extensions. Analytics that help you grow in real time. 24/7 award-winning customer service. By the way, they've helped me out multiple times. I've sent them customer service emails and they're like, hey man, you're just stupid. It's this easy. And I figure it out and then I go, right, my B. Make it yourself. Easily create a website by yourself. Make it stand out. You know, stand out with a beautiful website right now using Squarespace. Head over to squarespace.com/whiskey. That is squarespace.com/whiskey for a free trial. When you're ready to launch, use the offer code WHISKEY once again to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Squarespace.com/whiskey. Use the offer code WHISKEY for 10% off for your first purchase of a website or domain.
Ginger. I like gingers.
Where'd you go? Where'd you go eat? You
Monty's.
Oh, yeah, huh?
Yeah, so Nick Turturro was there, too.
Oh, yeah.
So Nick was at the other table with his family, and I was at my table, but we're very good friends, so... At the end of the night, I was like, Nick, go and take this home because I'm fucking not taking. So Nick took it home.
And then you're like, and it's on your bill too. Yeah, you have to pay for all this shit. Yeah. What's the one, is there a food or a night out thing that you miss because of COVID that you can't have right now?
I miss flying to Toronto and having Jamaican food.
Oh, yeah.
I love Jamaican food.
It's good, huh?
Fucking oxtail, rice and peas.
You can't get that in LA, huh?
Not really good. You can get okay.
Where would you go to get Jamaican food?
I gotta go to the fucking hood to go get it.
Sure.
And, you know, yeah. I'm not that fucking.
You're not doing Jamaican food in Beverly Hills, dude.
Yeah, so I gotta go like down to Inglewood. And everyone's like, oh, there's this spot. I'm like, listen, if you're coming up that way, I got this friend who lives in Compton. He's like a gangbanger guy.
Yeah.
And he's like, hell, cuz, whatever you need, homeboy, I got you. I got my people. They be throwing down on the kitchen, cuz. And I'm like, okay, well. I'll bring you some oxtails. And they always call it oxtails, but the Jamaicans just call it oxtail.
Right.
But I'm like, yeah, is she good? Yeah, she's Jamaican, cuz. I'm like, all right. And he said, and she, he, I don't know what he did or how he did it, but this lady came to my house with a big ass tray of oxtail, rice and peas, beef patties, cabbage, a cooler full of drinks. And I go, what I got to give her? He goes like, nah, I got this, cuz it's all good. She put on, you know, market to the game, cuz
it's on the family. Yeah.
And I'm like, okay.
And now you owe them a favor. Yeah, so when I read in the paper that Russell says you're caught with guns in your car.
Yeah, yeah, right. I'm like,
Russell Peters caught with 19 guns in his car in South Los Angeles today.
Yeah.
And you're like, but it was for the oxtail.
It was a car chase.
Right.
And we got him. He's going, he's exiting the freeway.
Book him. Book him, Dano.
He's going to Calabasas. This is
Yeah, that's how they know that you're up to some bullshit when you're living out that way. And they're like, he's coming from the hood. Something's wrong.
You know this buffalo
trance? Yeah. Hold on. Pause.
You want some more ice?
No.
Get some of this sauce in there. Pour it discretion. Pour it your own discretion.
Are these custom, these shoes?
No.
They look custom.
Oh, they're from Nike. They're older. They're like maybe 3-4 years old.
Are you hooked up with the Nike family that you're allowed, that you get gifts?
No.
I know. I was at one point, and now they don't send me any.
Yeah, they don't, they've stopped all that shit.
Well, they've let a lot of people go.
Yeah. I mean, when I first,
the pandemic has not been good to corporate America, no. Hookups.
Yeah. I mean, my boys at Roots of Fight sent me this.
That's cool.
And that's my favorite fighter of all time. So I hit him up. I was like, yo, a Jack Johnson sweatsuit. I need that.
That's great.
Shout out to Roots of Fight.
Shout out to them for sending out free merch. And I'm going to get some too. Obviously, you're going to give me a whole bunch of it. But yeah.
He's a fan of yours too.
Oh, good. Really?
Jesse,
I'll take it. It's so funny. It's so, when I first moved out here and I was skipping around, I worked at the same studio that they made Punk'd on. I did Punk'd. I did the second iteration of it years ago.
Yeah, you did.
That was my first
job.
And Ashton.
You were like a waiter.
I did all sorts of bullshit for them. And then Ashton, you know, his assistant would like, you know, they would make us like reorganize stuff when I first moved out here. So we would be reorganizing, you know, an office or whatever when we were working on this show.
That was your punking.
Trust me, it was. But I was reorganizing it. One time because he would get so much free shit. I mean, an amount of free shit that was almost
disgusting.
It was terrible but usually we would end up dropping it off at like, you know, they would make people drop it off at shelters or donation centers, which was very nice. I mean, that's the thing to do. But I remember one time, I'm going to call myself out. They had, I had no money. You know, I was 24. I was fucking skipping by. And they had gotten all these Christmas gifts to give to like family and friends. And they were like dope ass portable speakers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they were so sick. I don't even remember the brand at the time. Maybe Bose or some bullshit, whatever. But it was a cabinet filled with these things. And they had given out almost all these Christmas gifts. And I knew we don't get Christmas gifts. We were low-end nobodies.
Yeah.
And so, of course, I stole a few.
Yeah, you should.
And one of the dudes there was going to snitch on me. And I had to, like, step up to him like I was going to fight him. I was like, dude, I don't even lose my job over this shit. He's like, you shouldn't have stole. I was like, there's 1,000. They don't fuck. They'll never know. But to this day, I felt guilty about stealing. And I was like, but he got them for free anyway. I mean, he got so much. And now that I get some free shit, I'm always like, you should always give it away to people. You should always be like, take some, here, fucking keep what you want, but then also be like, here, take all this other bullshit, because you don't need all the shit you get.
Yeah.
I'll get stuff when I'm like, I keep it for no reason. I'm like, I have to give this to somebody.
I don't get much.
Yeah, if you wanted to.
No, if I wanted it, I'd love it, but I mean, I do want it.
There's always a friend that knows someone that goes, hey, here, you can add a, and I'll get a thing, and usually it's a thing I never use or never need.
Like Snoop Dogg sent me a case of his wine. Rather, he sent me 4 cases of his wine.
Right.
Which was really cool.
Right.
But I don't drink wine. Right. Because I have acid reflux. I can't drink fucking wine.
It's nice gifts, though, huh?
And then he sent me a bunch of bottles of his vodka. Now, that worked well.
Yeah, that goes down. Is he still making that stuff?
Yeah.
Dude, that guy's the most entrepreneur. I've never met someone who has his hands in more parts of the industry in my life.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, that was cool.
Did you ever do GGN, by the way?
What's that?
Or GNN, the Gangster News Network that he does?
No, I never did it.
He's still doing them once in a great while.
Really?
Yeah, there was a few really good ones he did. I think he did one with Nipsey that was really good. Rappaport, I think, just did one a couple months ago.
I did Drink Champs.
What is that?
Noriega's one.
What is it? Like,
you know Nori?
I mean, I know who he is.
Yeah,
but.
So Nori has a show on Revolt TV called Drink Champs. It's where you sit around and it's like a podcast where you talk shit, but you're drinking.
Right.
And you're smoking weed.
Oh, shit.
So it was me and Bumpy Knuckles who did it together.
Really?
Because Bumpy's like one of my best friends, too.
Oh, shit.
And, And so Bumpy wanted to do it, but he's like, yo, Russ, I'm not doing it if you don't do it with me. And I was like, Nori, I'll do it, but can I bring Bumpy with me? He goes, oh, hell yeah. I go, you want Bumpy? He goes, yeah, hell yeah. I go, okay, well, I'm going to come in with Bumpy. He goes, well, yeah, perfect. And because I went in, because Bumpy don't drink like that.
Right.
So every time they shoot a shot, I go, I got this. And I would take all the shots. And then I started getting really hammered, which was fine. But then I got hammered to the point where Nori was smoking a blunt right beside me. And he goes, yo, I go, hey, give me that fucking thing.
Oh, shit.
And I don't smoke weed.
That's a good night session for you, my friend.
I hit it hard. And everyone was like, ooh, shit. And I was like, all right. Handed it back. And then he, maybe 5 minutes later, he lit up a new one.
Mm.
And he goes, I go, give me that fucking thing.
Idiot.
And he goes, this one's stronger. I go, who gives a shit? I took a hit. And I was like, fuck. And then I'm sitting there, and he's talking to Bumpy, and all of a sudden you see me. I'm like this.
Yeah. Out. Out.
And then you hear Nori going, we'll continue that with Russell when he wakes up. And then as soon as I got outside, I puked.
Oh, you did?
Oh. As soon as the fresh air hit me, I was like, bleh.
Well, what is it called? When you're smoking and drinking. Why can't I think of the name? I mean, that is my magic potion. I love having a little bit of weed. I'll take two hits and drinking whiskey, and that's when I feel like I'm in my... When I'm on the road... And I want to like work out in some new weird shit on a late show.
Mm-hmm.
I love getting a little high and a little drunk.
What about microdosing?
I microdosed mushrooms.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking
about.
It's
fun, but I don't know. A lot of people love it. I've done it a few times. I'd rather do mushrooms. I enjoy more taking a hefty amount of mushrooms and getting fucking ripped if I'm going to do it.
How ripped do you get?
I mean. I ate mushroom probably the first time when I was 15, and since then I've probably done 20 or 30 times. And
what's the trippiest thing that's happened?
Oh my! Well, I mean, dude, I was in high school, we used to eat an eighth and some chain. I mean, we would eat a fuckload. When you're in high school, you're an idiot. You're like, let's go.
In high school, I didn't do any of that shit.
Oh, I did all of it.
Dude. I didn't start drinking until I was 31.
No shit.
31.
When's the first time you smoked weed?
Maybe 40.
Really?
Yeah, and I didn't really smoke it. I just tried it.
Were you just a good kid, or your parents really strict, or what was it?
No, it just didn't occur to me.
Damn.
It really didn't occur to me, and I didn't start drinking until I was 31. I was in South Africa.
How focused were you as a kid with schooling and shit? Was that a priority? Sports?
No, just boxing and DJing. And
then but DJing, in the hip-hop world, there had to have been weed and liquor around you all the time.
No, it's Canada.
Oh, right. You guys are weird up there, man.
Yeah.
How strange.
It was the 80s as well, you know what I mean? So it was like... My friend's father was on crack back then.
Sure.
So we were all kind of freaked out by it because, like, yo, what's wrong with your dad? Oh, he's on. They'd literally be like, yo, what's up with your dad? Oh, he's rocked out right now. So, and you'd go over and his dad would be like this. Ooh. Eyes wide open, teeth clenched. Oh, what's up, guys? How are you doing?
Is he alive?
Yeah.
Really? Made it through the rock era?
Yeah, he
made
it through the rock era. And then,
good for him.
I remember seeing his dad a couple of years ago and I was like, hey, Mr. B, remember when you used to be all fucked up on crack back in the 80s? And he was like,
He's like, the good old days.
Yeah, he's in his 70s now. Like, remember how fucked up you were in the 80s with the crack? And then I was telling him, one time I slept on the couch, and I walked in. I had to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night, so it's an apartment. So I walk in the bathroom, take a piss, and as I open the door, his dad's in there with a dude and another chick, and they're shooting heroin.
Holy shit.
Yeah, like one dude, like, pulling the fucking... the
roping him off?
Yeah. And he's like, and all I see is, and I go, oh, I'll wait.
There's a line in the bathroom. Sorry.
There's a few lines in that bathroom.
Yeah. That's kind of fucking crazy to think that you're, I mean, I had.
I'm like 14, 15 when I'm seeing all this shit.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I saw a little bit of drugs when I was young, but I wanted to try so bad. I was so interested. Weed was I smoked weed when I was 15 and that changed everything. That was like, oh my God. Especially because it was the culture of going to hip-hop shows, everyone was smoking so much weed, and it was just such a fun... It was also when you used to have to hide weed, which I do...
See, for you, but that's like the late 90s, right?
Yeah.
See, so for... that's a different time.
It's a different era.
Late 90s versus like mid-80s, and at same age for age.
Yeah.
It's two very different time periods.
Sure, yeah, especially because culturally what's going on, right? Yeah. Like, weed kind of took a nap through the 80s and then woke up again in the 90s.
Yeah, yeah.
Coke made its way to the forefront of the 80s.
Again, rich people drug though, because you know none of us had. We were like we were all these poor kids.
Right. Well, I mean, rich people drug or working class guy drug that spent all his money on coke.
Yeah, see,
like my dad went to jail my whole life when I was a kid because of drugs.
selling them or?
All of it.
Nice. Was, all he, of a, it. Was he a mob guy?
Nah, you know what I mean?
You don't know? You don't want to say?
He, you know, he knew people and stuff.
Yeah, and we all know people.
He used to, he knows somebody who knows somebody, make it so you know nobody. He got caught up in the lifestyle of.
Did your dad speak Italian?
No. No, it wasn't like that. My grandfather, he was the wackiest motherfucker. He's still alive. My grandfather's 91 or 92 and still drives.
That's wild, right?
Dude, he's, you can't kill this guy. You literally couldn't kill this guy if you tried. We were in the parking lot of a.
Was he from Italy?
Born and then here, but
born
not
in
raised.
Italy.
Not raised here.
Born
and I mean, not
moved
raised
to
here.
America.
Yeah, he. We were in the parking lot of a. Why can't I think of the name? I'm losing my grip.
This in Illinois.
This is in Chicago. Yeah, they're all over the city, but I can't remember. I'm closing my eyes. But Golden Nugget. Golden Nugget is like
a buffet restaurant.
Norms. It's like our Norms.
Oh, nice.
Same kind of shit. You know what I mean? It's a.
I love those places.
Me fucking too. Well, the Nugget in Chicago is a great thing, but we were in the parking lot of Golden Nugget. I'll never forget. And my grandfather was starting to get to a point when he probably shouldn't be driving. You know, where you're like,
mm-hmm.
He's a little shaky. You know, and not even that old, but still, you're like, he's just not paying attention as much as he used to. He fucking hits the gas. He's behind us to get go make a right to go into the. He smokes the back of us. And my dad gets out. And he's like, "Dad, what the fuck are you doing?" He's like, "Go, go." That was his way of being like, "Come on, let's."
He
go.
Thought he was giving you a gentle nudge.
Yeah, dude, he smoked the back of the car. It was just like, at some point when you're old and impatient.
Yeah.
You're young. You're like, this is the whole thing. When you're old, you're like, yeah. We're gonna die.
Yeah, I'm gonna die before that car breaks.
I couldn't care less. Go. Yeah, he folded half of the trunk in. No, he's an interesting
awesome.
Dude. He's a hustler, man. He made a living hustling in the streets. I mean, he's, you know.
If my dad would have been 95 if he was alive.
Wild. Yeah. How long did he pass away? How long ago?
16 years ago.
Damn. Natural?
Yeah, but, well, he had cancer, so naturally.
I guess, yeah. That's technically now, isn't that natural?
Yeah, pretty much.
Which one did he get?
Non-Hodgkin's lymphoma.
Cancer of the
skin.
Blood? Oh, no,
skin. Cancer, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Because we're half-breeds, right?
You so. Should be indoors more.
Well, yeah, we're mixed with the British. Thanks for fucking us over. And
well, yeah, it wasn't a choice, really.
Yeah, so Eric Reginald Peters got the old, although he was a brown
man. Your father's
man.
Name was Eric?
Yeah. His middle name was Reginald.
I know, that's even more. Eric Reginald Peters.
My grandfather was James.
That's my middle, that was supposed to be my name.
James Arthur Peters.
They sound like tennis players.
Yeah.
James yep. Arthur Peters.
And my grandmother was Eileen.
Shh, get the fuck out of here.
No. Eileen.
That's my family. Eileen is Irish.
What was my grandmother's maiden name? I think it might have been Burby.
Burby?
Yeah, as like some sort of British
where are your
name.
Parents from?
India.
But where?
Downtown.
downtown?
Calcutta and Bombay. My dad was born in Bombay, but then his family, my grandfather moved the family out to the jungle, like in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
Because back then, the type of Indians we are, we're called Anglo-Indians, we're mixed. So we would get all the good jobs because the British were still in India at the time.
So what does that mean? You're mixed with all the Brits? All the
yeah,
white...
the Brit, we're half British, half
how
Indian.
How much Brit blood, how much
it Brit... went back, we weren't fully, last time my family, my bloodline was a full Indian was like 1820.
Oh, wow.
Like, my cousin traced it back, and she goes, yeah, this is when it happened.
That's wild.
So before that, apparently, on my dad's side, we were Muslim.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's what we found out. I was like, wow, that's crazy. And then my mom's side, she doesn't know. My mom's kind of vague with her answers. But my mom's a lot more fair-skinned than my dad was. So
she's got all that white blood, huh?
Yeah. Growing up, people would speak Italian to her when we go out. Cause
yeah, you look very tan.
Yeah, my mom looked like an older Italian woman.
Right, like if I never knew and I never met you, I'd be like, look at this fucking Greek, Italian, Persian, Guinea. Look at that face.
I'll take the Greek and Italian.
You could be 50 things, though. You could be ambiguous. You're just, tonally, you're just right enough to be like, oh, I could be anything.
But the Indians know right away.
They do?
Yeah,
they do. So you don't look, any Indian friend I have, an Indian family grew up next door to me, and you don't.
What was their name?
I can't blow them up on
that. What was
we'll
the last name?
Blank it. We'll have to blank. We'll blank this out. Sarvastarva.
Oh, they were South Indian.
Yeah, Sarvastarva.
Yeah, so they'd have been dark as shit.
Which is where I learned how to do the accent.
Oh yeah, well you learned the South one.
Right. So that because his dad.
Yeah.
He is the nicest, sweetest, coolest. I mean, they're a great family. They're such a good people. But he was just such a it was the first time I didn't know what curry was when I was
and
a kid.
And theirs is extra hot down there.
Bro. Unreal.
In the South, they fucking eat lava.
I mean, I didn't understand it. I didn't know. I would just know it smelled strong as fuck. I was like, the strength of the smell, if that indicates what it tastes like, I was like, I don't know if I want that in my body.
Back in the day when I'd go to clubs and I was still living with my parents, if they were cooking, you'd have to keep your bedroom door closed so your clothes didn't smell like it. And you would have to literally be like, Mom, I'm going for a shower, and when I'm done, I'm leaving. So don't get mad if I don't say bye. I'm saying bye now.
Because
she'd go, why? And I go, because I don't want to smell like Indian food. Why not? I go, I don't want to smell like any fucking food.
Right. I want to smell like me.
I don't want to smell like any food. I want to smell clean and go to this club. So I would take a shower, run to my room, get dressed, and then bolt out of the house before I could smell like anything.
That's wild. Yeah. Well, just because you knew it sticks, huh?
Oh, yeah, yeah. You'd be like this. Fuck.
Do you cook traditional Indian food at the house or no?
I can't cook worth a shit.
For real? Not at all? Your parents never gave you any of that love?
No, I mean, I'm pretty sure I could figure it out, but I don't have the patience. I actually took chef training for 2 years.
Le Cordon Bleu? You one of those guys?
No, the high school I went to, you had to learn a trade.
You did cooking?
So I took chef training. And I was good at it then, but we're talking fucking 32 years ago was right. When I graduated.
Right. So now, no. You got a chef at the house?
No.
I feel like you'd have a chef at the house, though.
Well, Lord Finesse lives with me, and he loves to cook.
So he's the chef of the house?
Yeah, basically. Lord Finesse would be like, yo, what you want on the menu tonight, man? And I'm like, I don't know. What do you feel like? I don't know. Maybe a little shrimp parmesan, maybe some steaks, maybe. And he'll throw down. He'll make a whole shitload of things. I'm like, damn, Ness.
Yeah. Like, fill up the fridge. Yeah, I need to come over to the house then. I should come over to your house.
Are you a Lord Finesse fan?
I am. Yeah. I am.
I am too. He was actually literally one of my favorite MCs. Now he's family now.
All right. Well, let's be honest then. Let's go through it. Who to you is your top five?
It's Kane. It's a lot of bigs. It's Big Daddy Kane.
Biggie.
Big L.
Big L Chain. That album, that Lifestyles of the Poor and Dangerous changed my life.
Lord Finesse. And AG from DITC.
Hey, I love AG.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love AG. I don't know if it's one of my favorite lyricists, but I love AG.
No, but if you listen to him, you go,
hey,
this motherfucker spits.
No, he does.
Yeah.
I mean, also someone that's been sampled a lot, which I think is interesting, right? Like, people will peel off a line or two of his and sample and use it in something else, but most people of my generation don't know.
Yeah.
Unless you're ahead, and then you go, oh, yeah, I've heard this before, and I know that's an AG song.
Yeah, AG's, his wordplay is incredible. But basically any of the DITC guys, really.
Right.
They're all dope.
Big L, to me, one of the strongest lyricists of all time. I mean, also, so young. Who knows what could have been.
Yep.
You know? And that Lifestyles of Poor and Dangerous, I remember.
Ness produced most of that album.
Did he?
Yeah.
I remember hearing that for the first time with my friend Tyler. We were
Finesse
listening to it.
Finesse discovered Big L.
Is he a Harlem guy?
Yeah. No, Finesse is a Bronx guy, but he met Big Al. I don't know. He'll tell you the story. When you come over, he'll tell you the story. He'll tell you the whole story about how he met Big Al, and then they got him to the studio and how they just became boys.
Wow. That the whole idea of how those things used to happen was so organic and fascinating to me versus now, and maybe I sound like it's like, you know, well, you don't know what you're talking about, but I see so many things now, they feel so much more fabricated.
Everything's fabricated to me now. And nobody has any originality because it's like, well, this is the sound that sells, so I'm just going to do that. You're like, why don't you do you?
Well, to be fair, there is some guys out there that still are remarkably unique, but the problem is there's a lot more copycats. But, like, I think Kendrick Lamar is remarkably unique. I think there's not a lot of guys
him. Not a fan.
You don't like Kendrick?
No, really? I don't get it. I respect him.
I think he's
wonderful. I respect what he's doing.
Yeah, I really like him.
It doesn't work for me.
How about, okay, let me try to peel my way through this whole thing. And let's see, do you like guys like Future? Do you like any of that kind of stuff? Do you like
not at all?
Do you like is it because you don't like it or you don't understand it and so it's therefore just not worth it?
Probably both.
Right. There's a part of that exists, right? Like, I've learned to admit that,
like, I'm like, I don't get what you're talking about or why you're talking about it, you know. Melly, right. Again, Melly Mel is one of my really, really good friends. And when we're hanging out,
what do these guys think of the younger
cats?
So
this is what Melly Mel said one night. Okay. We're hanging out, we're drinking, and he's like, you know, music is supposed to be a stamp of time. It's supposed to take you back to what was happening then.
Sure.
If you go back and you listen to The Message, you know what was happening in the early 80s. You go listen to White Lines, you know the people were doing cocaine.
In the club.
You listen to Public Enemy, you know that there was a struggle happening. You listen to these motherfuckers in 20 years, all you're going to know is they love strip clubs and big asses and fucking rims.
It's true. Yeah. Well, all those things are true.
Yeah. He like goes, they're not going to tell you anything about the political climate of what was happening. You're not going to know anything
except
about
for that song, Fuck Trump. That's pretty on the nose. I think they're saying.
It was very subtle.
Yeah. Yeah. They try to hide their message
the
a little bit.
Wordplay was good in that.
Yeah, no, I get it. Trust me. I'm trying to do, I've talked about this on the show before, but like I'm trying my best to understand why the youth likes what they like. So why
because
a 17-year-old likes.
Simple.
Well, but it may be what works for them, right? Like my father hated most of the music that I played in my room.
Right.
And I was like, you don't get it. And he may not have gotten it, but also it's also because it meant something to me because of my youth. So Little Pump or whatever the fuck or whoever, it may mean something to that youth category. So I'm trying to be more like understanding and learn why.
I get that it's not made for us.
100%. No way.
I get that. Yeah, I get it's made for the younger generation. But what bothers me about it is the lack of trying to do something better.
Sure, and I think it's getting called out, though. This is my point. I guess the reason I brought
up... Like Kendrick tries to do better.
That's my point.
Although it doesn't appeal to me, I respect what he's doing, and I appreciate that he's trying to do something different.
Yeah.
Cole, I like the kid.
I like J. Cole.
I mean, I couldn't tell you any of his songs, but I like the kid as a person. He's a nice guy.
That Let Nas Down is one of the best songs of all time. Have you ever heard that song?
No, but I mean, I like him and I respect what he's doing. And I know that he respects the culture. For me, it's a personal thing. It's like,
I know.
Do you understand the hip hop culture? And like I was FaceTimed with Tyga the other day.
Why are you on FaceTime with Tyga?
This guy in my house is friends with him. He was FaceTiming him and I go, yo, and I'm a little drunk. I'm like, yo, I got an idea. And then we came up with, I was like, yo, so who's your favorite old school rapper? He goes, like who? I go, yeah, like who? Who the fuck? Who'd you listen to? Like, who's an old school guy? Like, he goes, I don't know. And I'm like, do you know any fucking hip hop artist? He's like, I go, like Big Daddy Kane. He goes, oh, that's before my time. Yeah. I go, yeah, that's what old school is, you fuck.
Right.
And then he goes, okay, he goes, well, I'm like Egyptian Lover. And I go, you went before Kane.
Yeah, that's.
I go, Egyptian Lover was dope, but I guess that's because you're a Cali guy, so you.
Right,
you
know, he knows West Coast stuff.
Yeah, and that's fine. Egyptian Lover's dope, so I had no problem with that. But he's not like a rapper.
Did he earn points from you though? At least a little bit.
No, because I know he learned that from his mom.
Right.
Because you know, his mom's my age. You know what I mean?
The record that his mom had when he was a kid.
Yeah, yeah. And then I was like, and I was just being, you know, drunk and racist with him. It's like,
oh, good. That's why I love being drunk and racist,
man.
Because
he's half Vietnamese. I don't know if people know that.
He is?
Yeah, Tiger's half Vietnamese. His mom's Vietnamese.
I would never know.
So I was like, I knew that. And I was like, hey, I got an idea for it. He goes, what? I go, you need to open up like Tiger's nail shop. And they're so dumb. They're like,
it didn't land at all?
No.
Jesus.
These kids are dumb nowadays. Dude.
Well, I think it's also they're so focused on, like, I watched the Hulu put out the, it was a documentary, Indian dude, by the way, you know, one of yours, put out a documentary about Tekashi 6ix9ine. Did you see that?
No.
Yeah, you should check it out. I shouldn't really promote it as if it's great. What I mean is,
what does it follow him from?
It goes from the jump. It goes, honestly, from when he grew up in Bushwick. They go all the way back to the neighborhood he grew up in Bushwick and the people he grew up around.
Does it follow him coming out of jail and stuff?
Well, the most recent moment of it, without giving anything away, is what's happening right now. So they get to 2019, so to speak.
So it's fairly current.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they show as much as they can show, and he goes as far as he can go without...
Did you watch Hip Hop Evolution?
Yeah, I did.
Good.
Yeah, I did.
You know that's my show, right?
But that's your show?
I executive produced that.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I'm the executive producer of Hip Hop Evolution. Look, that's why you have Melly Mel and Grandmaster Caz and Kool Herc. They're all on there because I'm friends with those guys.
You put it all together.
Yeah, my buddy Darby Wheeler called me with the idea, and I was like, I'll do it, Darby, but we got to make sure we follow it. I want to go right back to Herc and back past Herc.
To the beginning.
Yeah, and he goes, yeah, that's what I want. I go, perfect. And then I said, well, I'll get us the interviews then.
Right. And you set all that shit up?
I set up most of it.
That's wild.
Most of the New York stuff.
Right.
And now we're working on a D&D doc. I'll show you the trailer.
With who? Who you do? Yeah, I'm like,
we're almost done.
Really?
Yeah, we started it like fucking 7 years ago, six years ago.
Wow. Is this something that you kind of want to continue to do, or is this just like random?
Well, the D&D doc is going to be our Sound City or our Muscle Shoals.
Right.
Like, those are dope documentaries, too.
For people that haven't seen those, Muscle Shoals, phenomenal.
Loved it.
And if people don't know, Muscle Shoals is an area of Alabama that is a mecca, hub, whatever you want to call it, of some of the greatest music of all time.
Yeah.
I think that's a cool world. Do you think maybe that's, you know, obviously not to detract from what you're doing currently. Do you see yourself at some point focusing more so on that kind of stuff and then putting comedy to bed a little bit, or no?
No.
No?
No, because there's no fucking money in it.
Sure. Well, there could be, right? I mean, I don't know.
I made not one penny from Hip Hop Evolution. We did 4 seasons. I didn't make one penny.
And no.
I got an Emmy and I got a Peabody for it.
Fine.
So to me, I'm like,
nice.
That's fucking
trophies
better
are
than
fun.
That's better than money to me. To have an Emmy sitting in my house, I'm like,
that is wild. Yeah. I get to get an Emmy, huh?
Yeah.
When they do they send it to your house or do you got like how does that
it
work?
It took them 2 years to get it to me.
2 years.
I was like, what the fuck is this Emmy? They're like, it's coming. Apparently, they cast it and they didn't like the way it cast it, so they got to recast it.
And then they engrave your name on it and everything.
Yeah.
Where does that sit in your home?
In my bedroom.
Right above the bed?
Yeah, right in front of the TV, right beside the TV. But because in the old house, I had it displayed in the pool table room. But
sure.
I've had to downsize the house, and there's nowhere else to put it but in my
the
bedroom.
The pandemic made you downsize the house.
Yeah, that happens, right? I got kicked in my pandemic.
That's fine, man. That's fine. No, so you lost a pool table room. You're fine.
I lost a pool table room. Lost a man cave.
But it's not your only house.
Lost my golf course.
What do you mean?
I had a 9-hole putting green at the old house.
Fuck off.
Yeah.
Really?
That was a beautiful house.
I didn't know you were a golfer.
I'm not.
You don't know I'm there. How do you know I'm married? Like, I don't know you're a golfer. You know,
I'm not a golfer at all. I still have never golfed to this day. But
why'd you have it?
It came at the house.
The old white dude that had it before had it.
Yeah, yeah. The old Persian guy, matter of fact. And
really?
And my son used to love running around the golf course because we take the, you know,
do you have any interest in golfing?
No, not a little bit.
Why not?
Because of, I don't know. Everyone's like,
crack
you got to do
code.
It.
Crack the code. It's phenomenal. You're going to, I swear to God. You'll like it because you like, if you like any sport that has intricacies, which you do because you love fucking jiu-jitsu, mm-hmm. which is the most intricate fucking sport there is, you would love golf because it's all about small things, which I think...
Little adjustments.
Yeah, it means everything. So yeah.
I've
argued with Rogan about this. Rogan makes fun of me. He'll make fun of me about anything, but he'll make fun of me about golf because I'm obsessed. I love it, but I've loved it for years.
How often do you play?
In the pandemic, I'm playing a lot.
Are you a righty or a lefty?
I'm a righty.
Really?
Yeah, in the pandemic, I played a lot. I played...
Did you play street hockey growing up?
Yeah, of course. Everyone plays
street hockey. Were you a righty then, too?
I could go both ways when I played hockey.
Hey, you.
Well, and then I would also go both ways with a stick. Yeah. That would fuck the dude.
Either stick.
Right. A lot of sticks, dude. Love with sticks.
I'm a lefty with hockey.
You are?
Yeah, so I guess I'd be a lefty with golf.
Honestly, it depends. I know baseball.
Yeah,
I know baseball
that
guys
feels...
that are lefties, but they swing righty in golf.
Yeah, my buddy Royce Clayton wants me to. He's gonna say he's gonna take me.
We
out
know who it is.
You know Royce, right?
Yeah.
So Royce is like, yeah, I'll take you out with me. I go, you're gonna need patience because I've never done this.
I promise you'll fall in love, man.
He goes, I'll take you on a day when we're not playing for money or we're just fucking around. I go, yeah. He goes, we're just fun. We have cigars and we drink. And
I was just gonna say, so this is the thing I know about you. I know you like to have a couple of drinks with the sauce, and you like cigars. Those are the two of the mainstays of hanging out while you're golfing.
Yeah, that's what I'll do.
And you get to hang with your friends. Whenever people, that's what I try to convince Rogan of. I was always like, dude, it's friends spending time together, drinking, smoking, and talking shit. I was like, we already do that. This is just another little element of fun to bring into it. And yes, the gambling is my favorite part.
Is it?
Well, it increases the fun, right?
Are you good?
I'm pretty good.
Not with gambling, I mean golf.
I'm bad at gambling. I'm bad at sports gambling. If I'm gambling on me, I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm gambling on a team, I'm fucking atrocious. I quit years ago. I learned how belly up I went on betting on fucking NCAA basketball and football that I was like, I'm never going to do this ever again. This is like the worst thing I've ever done.
Yeah, see, I don't watch any of the team sports at all.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Like even pro, like NFL, NBA.
To be honest with you, football is the most irritating sport in the world to me.
Why?
Because do you know that they've actually... counted it. It's like 12 minutes of actual football being played in a 3-hour span.
No. You mean a physical action?
Yeah.
That's like, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, then, you know, sports.
I get irritated by it. It's like, okay, catch the ball. Oh, fall down. Okay, good. Stop. Hold on. This guy wants to have a meeting with you. Okay, you said caught the ball and you fell down. Let's do that again. Okay, guys. Let's go.
So what's the sport you will watch?
Just boxing and MMA, really.
Boxing is nonstop. But you like boxing more than MMA?
Boxing is always going to be my number one, but I love MMA as well, you know.
I was never huge on MMA. I enjoy it, but I've always liked boxing significantly more, but it's only because I grew up with it. It has nothing to do with
Well, that's the same thing details. For me. It's very nostalgic.
I just like it. I just like
my
it because
my dad and I and I know how to call shit before it's going to happen, which is pretty fun for me because people go, "Hey, how'd you know that?" I go, "Well, it was obvious. That's what he had to do."
Right. And versus MMA is a lot harder to call.
Well, when it comes when on the ground, I can call it.
Right, but up top.
But then when they're standing up, because I'm like, okay, I see what he's trying to do here.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then with baseball, I had no clue there was a strategy or a game plan with it. I was like
they're out there just fucking around.
Yeah, I thought, okay, this guy throws the ball, that's his job. Your job's to hit it. What fucking game plan could you have? You
know but did your dad like cricket when you were a kid? Cricket.
My dad did like cricket.
It's a massive sport.
I didn't have the time or patience to watch it. But here's a funny thing. So yeah. Royce was at my house during the World Series, mm-hmm. and because he won a World Series.
Yeah.
And he played professional baseball, and I don't know him as an athlete. I know him as this guy that hangs out with me and smokes cigars, right?
You have none of that.
No memory of it. I've never seen him, but like he's a really great guy. He's a cool guy. So
that's so funny, dude.
You know what I mean? So we're watching the baseballs on the World Series, right. And he's like, "Here's what he's gonna do. He's gonna do the blah 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 blah, and then they're gonna score." And everyone like, I'm with like these baseball fanatics in my house,
right?
And they're like, "No, that don't make sense. That's not gonna." And then sure he's enough. Like, and then sure enough, everything he fucking said, and then be like, "Yeah, that's what they had to do." And I'm like. Well, I didn't know there was a strategy to the sport.
Big time. Baseball is, again, when I was starting out, used to joke about like jocks versus nerds. Mm-hmm. And the irony to me was baseball is the most nerdy sport when you look at it. It's pure analytics. That's literally all it is. Honestly, it's genuine. It's all numbers. It's just, if you're a real dork, you probably would love baseball. So
is that why the Japanese and the Koreans are so good at it?
Yeah, well, that's why they're so good at the numbers. They're not really great at the game itself because they're not big enough people. That's the problem. We got a couple, but the problem is it's size. Nobody grows better than Americans. We're the best.
We got the most steroids in our food.
Well, we're the best. And also, I should take it back because baseball's filled with fucking Dominicans and Cubans and anything, but we know how to like force them through these systems to make them the best version of that athlete. But baseball is just pure numbers, dude. Like, I mean, it's literally just about doing analytics until the day is done, until you can figure out which person makes the most sense for what time period and what during the game and the odds. It's the pure odds over what they're going to do versus this guy and how that's going to advance the next player. And what the likelihood of scoring. I mean, Billy Beane did it in the Oakland A's. Did you ever see that movie with Brad Pitt and fucking Jonah Hill?
I remember that movie.
Hardball. I mean,
what was it called? That wasn't it Hardball or something.
Was it Hardball? What's something wrong with like me? That. Why can't I think of it? I'm never
fastball. Ball.
I'm so bad at that.
Some kind of ball.
Names of stuff and famous. Somebody said that to me recently. They were like, "You pretend like you don't know Hollywood. You work in Hollywood." Because I joked, I don't know Chris Pine and Chris Evans. I don't know the difference. But
I wouldn't know the difference.
But either. I don't. I really genuinely don't.
There's a lot of those guys like that, though. They're kind of like these pretty blank white boys, and you're like, okay, well, I can't tell them apart.
I wouldn't know. I'm not good at that. Like I say to my wife, I say to the old bag all the time, I'm always like, who is that girl? And she's like, you know, that's so-and-so. You've seen her 1,000 fucking times. But I just am not good at it. I can't. Comics, I know any fucking. I could see a comic once in like Detroit or in Indianapolis.
Yep.
If I ran into him in an airport, I'd be like, I know that. I've seen that. I remember that dude.
There's this kid I'm working with in Houston, this black kid, Jeff Joe.
Jeff Joe?
Have you seen him?
Jeff Joe. What a weird
Jeff
fucking
Joe,
name.
What a fucking name. Kid's fucking funny, though.
He's
dude.
Good?
Oh, my God.
And is he live in Houston still?
Yeah.
Shout out to Jeff Joe.
Jeff Joe. Is he
opening for you?
Yeah, he did. I saw him online. I was like, yo, I want this kid to work with me.
That's dope.
Yeah, he did this joke about people using big words around him and how he's always using Siri to find out what the word means. And he goes, yeah, one of my friends called me. He's like, yeah, sorry, I couldn't make him. I had to take my dad to the phlebotomist. He goes, hey, Siri. What's a dad? I was like, fuck, I love that shit.
That's great.
I love the fake little fake out. Oh, shit.
Yeah, Siri heard.
Shut up.
Phlebotomist, by the way, genuinely, from the bottom of my heart, don't know what that is.
It's they're the people that take your blood.
Really?
Yeah.
They're not called blood docs?
Blood takers?
Blood peeps? They're not called Bloods?
No, they're not Bloodsuckers. Those are called agents.
Oh, right, right. And managers?
And managers.
You have both, don't you?
My brother's my manager, so he's not a Bloodsucker. But
really?
Yeah.
Are you ever weary?
No, he's not Dane's brother. He's mine.
I was just going to say, you never know. Dude, they could creep up on you. Does that ever fuck you up, though, to think about family and business?
No.
Never?
It's just me. Are you an only child?
I have a sister.
Older?
So, and younger.
Yeah, so it was not going to work.
Yeah. Well, I would never let her work for me.
That's my brother's 6 years older than me. He's always been my big brother. He's always looked out for me.
That seems like the most likely to fuck you over, though. No, your older
never.
Brother?
My brother never even fought growing up.
And what was his thing in life? What did he do before becoming your manager?
He's just smart.
Just smart, dude.
He worked in international contracts for an oil company.
Oh, shit.
So when I started to make it, he was like, well, let me look at this shit. And then he started figuring it out. He goes, well, we got to start doing things strategically now.
Right.
If you're going to do this, you might as well do this, this, and this, as opposed to doing this, going there, and then coming back. It doesn't make sense. It was like he really structured it.
Did he live in Toronto and you moved him out here?
No, he still lives in Toronto.
Oh, he still stays out there.
He's still in Toronto.
Does he have anything to come out here? No,
he's got a wife and kid there.
He couldn't care less.
And my mom's out there, so he's holding it down.
Do you have any idea to go back or no?
I would love to.
Go back.
I can. I got two kids and two baby mamas out here.
Take them all.
Yeah, fuck that.
Steal the kids, dude. I'm not a snitch.
I'm not buying that many houses.
Right, that's the problem, yeah. Huh? That's what it is. I always hear that with friends that I'm like, if they have kids from marriages from before or whatever, they're always like, they can't leave. That's like the number one thing. They're like, I can't go anywhere. Where are you going to go? Until the kids are grown up, and then you can go wherever you want.
Listen, my kid. I had my son when I was 49.
Wild.
Where am I fucking going to go?
I know you. I know. Yeah. Well,
yeah. What, when he's 19 or 18? I'm 68. I'm going to move to New York.
You could. Why not? Who says no?
No, but I'm saying, all right, guys, let's party.
Yeah, why not? You think there's not? You've been to Miami? That's all 68-year-olds that are fucking living their dreams.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's true.
Every time I go down to Florida, I'm always like, these are all the dudes that waited till the kids grew up, and then they were like, let's fucking do it. You're the new generation of...
I'm 50, and my 50's not the same as our parents' 50.
Not even close, dude.
I looked at a picture
of my dad never wore a sweatsuit, ever.
No?
No, this is like...
Not even like a Sergio Tacchini one?
No, no, dude. No, it was always
a
like...
Pierre Cardin back in the day? Yeah.
No, he wore Pele jeans. Mm-hmm. And I think it's... There are the generations have made it so that those old rules don't exist anymore. So being... I mean, fuck, when you were 40, you had to be like a grown-up. Like,
you were like 60.
Right. You were old. It was like you're on your way out.
I looked at a picture of my mom when she was 48. And I was, she's 48. I was like 19.
Right. 20. She had a 28, yeah.
And I was like, Jesus, you just gave up.
what a dick.
I said to my mom, I go, what, did you just stop? What did you do? Like, you look old as shit here, Ma.
But the pressure of life.
And my mom's 79 now, and she looks the same as she did at 48.
Right, that's why I think that's my theory about Betty White. Betty White's been 90 for like 90 years. Like
how old is she? She's going to be 100 this year, isn't she?
She might be around 100. But she's one of those people where you're like, God, how's she still alive? And it's like, well, yeah, because she got old early.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like
she was smart.
Betty White, how old is Betty White? Because the running joke forever was like, how is it? She's 98.
Yeah.
Damn, she'll be 99 in January.
Wow.
God damn, dude. And
but she's still sharp, it seems like.
Yeah. Yeah. There's moments, too, where, like, I watched that documentary about her they put up on Hulu or whatever.
Hulu, huh?
Yeah. I have Hulu Live, dude. I don't fuck with cable anymore.
I know what Hulu Live is.
TV. It's TV. I didn't want to do DirecTV anymore.
Right.
And I was like, I'm done with that bullshit. I'm done with like them being, I had like 1,000 channels. I was like, I don't watch any of this shit.
Yeah, I really don't. I just watch the local news.
Right. I watch 6 channels.
Yeah.
So then a friend of mine.
The problem is to get those 6 channels, you got to subscribe to a fucking 150.
No, with Hulu, you don't. That's why it sounds like a Hulu ad. No, my buddy literally was like, he's like, have you ever tried YouTube TV or Hulu Live? And I was like, nah, I don't want to do that shit. And he's like, try it once. Or he said, use my sign in. So I use my sign in on my TV. It's got a Hulu button. So I sign in, and I was watching live TV, and I was like, oh shit, this is like anything I need is on here. It's all the sports channels. It's like the Big Ten Network, the Pac-12 Network, like all of the college sports stuff. If I ever did want to watch it,
you get like
is on there.
Family Feud.
Bro, you know I watch Family Feud. KCAL is on there,
I love Family Feud. I don't particularly enjoy Steve Harvey, but I love Family Feud.
This is odd because it's me and my wife's favorite show and one of our favorite shows to watch. We love Steve. I think it's going to be a good one today. We got the black family versus the white family. Yeah. He always roots so much harder for the black family. That's my favorite.
He does pander a little bit.
I love it. When the white family wins, he's always like, I'm so sorry. He like goes and apologizes to the black family.
You guys are a really nice family.
Good. And when the white family loses, he's always like, bye, bitch. And he goes right and celebrates with the black family.
But you know what it is? I find that he tries too hard to sound more country. He's from Cleveland. You're not that country.
Right, he lives in Atlanta now, right?
I know, but it's like, you know, your husband.
And
I'm like, you're from Cleveland, Steve.
Hey, man, he's soaked up that Atlanta vibe. You go down there for like a week and you start sounding like that.
I sure as fuck don't.
No, you don't. But you can't. It's illegal. You know,
I do New York. I'll go New York. When I go to New York, I come back and go, what's up, B? What up, money?
Yeah, see? So that's his version of New York is Atlanta for a Cleveland kid.
I suppose.
Yeah. Do you ever go back to India? And you stare long enough where you start talking with an accent? Because you never had one.
I was never even born there.
That's what I'm saying. But do you adopt
when
one?
When I do come back, I do. It's not so much accent, but like head movements. Like I'll be like.
The mannerisms. Why the fuck do you guys do the head thing? What is that?
It's simple. Like, it's ask me a question. Because it's in the eyes. It's not so much in the head. Ask me a positive question and a negative question. You'll understand the answer.
Okay. You know, how do you like the? Do you like the new Audi? It's a great car.
Now ask me a negative question.
How's everything going with your child's mother? Yeah.
Do you see?
Yeah, it's a big difference. Yeah, it's a very big difference.
It's like you could be out in public and not have to yell at each other.
Right, I get it. It's a little bit smoother.
Yeah.
that it is interesting though, because y'all pick it up. Like my stepdad is from the South. We go to the South. You'll start hearing yourself say stuff. You know what I picked up years ago and I never got rid of to this day? I say A on accident and I do it a lot.
Like from like a Canadian?
Canada, but for no reason. But I think I say it because I like it. Like I'll add it into the end of a sentence.
Do you add it the same way we do?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it goes exactly where you
were. There are some similarities between Chicago and Canada.
Well, everyone from Michigan and up and northern Wisconsin, they sound like Canadians. So when I grew up with kids, when I meet kids from up there or go up north, they sounded exactly like Canadians. It's almost the same.
Especially Minneapolis.
And well, like that's even and worse. That yeah, oh, yeah. Anything up that way is even more tonally has the same speech patterns. Yeah. But, you know, if they say, yeah, no, well, it's not that bad, is it, eh? And it made sense. It's a word that I didn't understand why it was in there, but it was like, well, I guess it's like a question mark.
Yeah, it's like the huh. It's an American huh.
Yeah, but we don't say huh at the end of it. We don't.
Some people do. I know, huh?
Yeah, I guess a Mexican.
I know, huh?
Fucking. Yeah. Fucking. But,
and Canadians, we say pop.
I say pop. That's what Midwest says pop. Yeah, I don't say, say soda pop. To me is the weirdest.
There was a company growing up, and we only thought rich people had this, because you would see it. Like, there was this truck that would drive through the neighborhoods. And it said, the pop shop.
The pop shop.
And they would drop off cases of soda to people.
At people's doorstep?
Yeah. It was like a delivery, pickup and delivery service.
Fancy.
Glass bottles and be like grape soda, lime soda. You can mix it up, get cream soda, whatever. And they'd drop off like the 24-pack or whatever, how many ever you ordered. And
whose dad is an executive in that neighborhood, huh?
And it was the pop shop. And shop was spelled S-H-O-P-P-E.
Shoppe, yeah, whatever.
Pop shop.
Pop shop, yeah. That's fancy blood, dude. Mm. I had a girl
in
my neighborhood.
We'd see it and be like, wow, who the fuck has that kind of money?
That's bread. That's heavy bread.
Yeah.
Isn't that funny when you're a kid that you think some things are very expensive and then you get older and you're like, oh, I didn't know that was so cheap.
Yeah, I didn't know my parents were that fucking cheap.
that's what it is. You're like, I would have never known.
My dad didn't buy a car with air conditioning till I was about 16. He said it consumes more gas.
And it does.
And then he never would turn it on.
Well.
And I'm like, but why did you get it?
I mean, I get it. He's right, though. By the way, it does consume way more gas, so the man is smart.
I'm sure then, not now.
No, it still literally does consume more gas. The engine runs harder, but it's minimalistic. But also, hey, man, the small things matter to Pop. You know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, everything mattered to Dad.
Dad, like, did you get yelled at for the lights?
Lights. I yell at people for lights in
my
fucking house.
Yeah, I took it from my dad.
And right when I was leaving to come here, I meant to hit the kitchen button, but my house is automated, and I hit the welcome button, and it turned on every fucking light in the house.
Do you have a thing on your phone?
Yeah, so I was like, can somebody turn off all these lights? I got to leave.
Don't you have, like, the, hey, Siri, turn off all the lights in my house. Do you have one of those?
I feel like I'm just going to do it while I'm talking.
Yeah, do it. Yeah, you can do it right now.
You know, if that's okay with
turn off all the lights inside of your house right now.
Well, I'm just going to go through it.
Let me see the app that does it. This is rich shit.
Crestron.
So dope.
Okay,
dining. I have manual lights. You know what those are in my house?
Oh, yeah, a guy named Manuel comes and turns
it on. Manuel's the one that put them in. And I have to touch it, turn it on and off.
I'm turning off.
What's the next show? Are you doing any more shows or no?
I'm doing Houston
when?
In a couple of weeks.
Say it, so we'll throw it up.
December 4, 5, 6.
Go out and go see the Russ P. December 4, 5, 6 in Houston at the Houston Improv?
Houston Improv.
Is it nice to be back in clubs, stadium god? Huh? This guy's doing stadiums all the time.
I always do clubs just to keep
myself
honest.
You do a stadium tour.
Yeah, once I get my club run done so I can get my act together.
Right.
You know. That's the reason I do it.
What's your favorite club? What's your least favorite club?
I pretty much like all the clubs, but there's certain clubs I don't enjoy. Like,
yeah, bury them. Let's bury them.
It's mostly because I didn't like the way they treated me or whatever.
Sure,
when I was there.
Yeah, shout it out.
They treated me like I was a fucking like middle of the road guy, and I'm like, fuck you, buddy. I'm only doing this to fill time. And then every time they keep trying to put it back on my schedule, I'm like, no, I don't want that club.
Right. Well, they learned their lesson then, huh?
Yeah. So like, there's that Helium in St. Louis. I don't particularly want to go back.
Didn't like it, huh?
No.
Okay. Log it. I'm logging that in. I'm logging it in.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure I'll be back there, but. I don't like doing Alabama.
Huntsville.
I was supposed to do Huntsville, but we blew it out because the tickets weren't selling the way we wanted them to.
Stand Up Live?
Which one in Huntsville?
That's Huntsville.
That's what I was supposed to
do. Oh, bro, I had so much fun. I was doing a gig. I did Nashville.
I love Nashville.
I mean, those are my people.
Now, here's the thing. The first time I did Zanies must have been like 2006, I think, and I hated it.
Really?
Then I went back maybe about much later, like maybe... fucking 8 years later or something, and I loved it.
Dude, I love it. I those are my the Lucy out there. I love Zany's Nashville. I had so much
I love Nashville
fun.
Itself.
Yeah, that's a phenomenal city too.
Yeah, I love Nashville. I love Texas as a state.
Texas.
Most of Texas. I love.
There's parts that I'm not a big fan of.
I haven't seen all of it, but the places I've been to, I really dig.
Yeah, there's great. There's a lot of great spots. I'm not going to move down there. I'm not going to make the Rogan Exodus like everyone's.
Now, who else
jumping
moved
down
out there?
Segura, they're moving down there.
Is he?
Yeah.
Fucking Tom.
They're out, dude. They moved their whole unit down there. But yeah, no. I went down to Huntsville for a one nighter after I had done Nashville, and I had a fucking blast. Also, I was like being a judgmental dick, and I was like, "Who's gonna be out in this random little town in fucking Alabama?" You forget, NASA's there. So you're like,
that's why I should have sold out better.
Bro, you should have. I mean,
yeah,
seriously.
NASA, are you kidding me?
It's all Browns. It's all smart Brown kids.
I think it just might have been the time that it was booked, like during the pandemic.
Well, yeah. I mean, dude, the pandemic has shifted everything. I've canceled all like so many shows. You can't. People are so scared to go do them, and I respect that. And they don't want to go to shows because they're like, I fucking take care of my mom or whatever. So I've been hesitant. You know, I'm supposed to go do Phoenix one show.
Stand Up Live?
Or one night, I should say. Three shows. I'm doing one day.
Three shows in one night?
I have to.
By the third show, do you start questioning if you've said this or not yet?
No, I don't give... Because I tried... Well, at least when I was in the rhythm before the pandemic, I had this hour and then I had another half hour. And it was great to be able to mix. Like, that was my fucking favorite.
Well, that's the thing. Right before lockdown, I was like, I got an act. I'm just going to polish it now. And now I can't fucking remember it.
I tried to remember some of it.
And now it's kind of irrelevant. You're like, eh.
I said the exact same thing, dude. When I went back out and was trying new shows, I was
Didn't you
like,
do Whitney's Backyard?
No, I didn't do that.
I thought you did that.
No, dude. I didn't want to go to other... I didn't want to perform in front of other comics.
Yeah, that's the thing. And I'm like...
I got so weirded out by it. I was like, I can't do that. I can't do that.
Yeah, I mean, I already know that they don't like me, so I don't...
Only two of... No, I'm kidding. Not fucking... No, it's not that they don't... It's just I don't like the judgment from comic... Like. Yeah. A friend of a friend had said, will you give this guy advice? He's trying to get in a stand up. And you know, the first piece of advice is always get out. Don't do it. It's not worth it.
Yeah. Whenever guys like, or
go away.
Whenever comics like a comic too much, I'm like,
Nah, it's not going to work.
Yeah, well, these aren't the people that are going to buy your tickets, are they? So.
Right, but that's the thing I said to him. I said, don't worry less about what other comics think of you as a comic. Worry about, if you want to be friends with people and create a cordial universe, that's great.
Yeah,
but I was like, you should give less of a fuck about if they love your comedy, because they're not going to pay your rent, you know? No comic is going to be like, hey, man, fucking, I wanted to help you out because I think you're great. And he was like, oh, no, I get it. But I understand the pressures of a young comic are always to be like, you want the back of the room to laugh. And it's like, yeah, sure. But also, like, they're not going to come see you on the road.
They don't care.
No.
They actually want you to fail.
Of course, yeah. They're more inclined to not laugh because then, in fact, most of the time, they will laugh at trash because it makes them feel better about how much better they are than you.
Yeah, I can't believe you wrote that. Ha, stupid.
Right. Oh, no, yeah. No. He's sweet. He's nice. Yeah, that was the advice I gave this guy. I said, dude,
I watch a lot of the comics who we all follow each other, and then I watch how they all jerk each other off in their comments.
Right.
And then I look at my comments or likes, and I don't see any of them like my shit or comment. I'm like, I know you follow me, though. Why the fuck are you following me, then?
Following, though, well, for me, on a personal level, I think all comics, all of us should stop following each other because it's stupid. Like, even if I'm friends with you and I like you, why are we following each other? Like, I that Instagram thing is just for fans anyway, to me.
I'm not a fan of Instagram at all.
Well, it's a waste.
I hate doing social media.
But I do think it helps connect with the fans. It's a waste as far as, like, comic to comic. That, to me, never made sense. And I did it because we all do it.
Yeah.
But I wish I could put out a public thing being like, hey, man, I'm not unfollowing you because I don't like you. There's no reason to... This is just for me to put out to the fans and stuff that I want to interact with. It's a business tool. Yeah. Like, if I want to really know about you...
It's like giving another comic your card.
Right. Here, man. It's like, fucking, I know you. What the fuck? Yeah, it's just a scroll of cards is all we had to see.
Hey, do you want to see my sizzle reel? No. No. Fuck no.
No, dude. I'll look at it and laugh, but I don't want to see it.
That's about as close as we're getting to that, buddy.
I think that's the new rule. We should stop following our friends as much because it's becoming this weird... I said that the other day.
Well, a lot of comics are your fake friends, too. I mean, I found that out over time. And
well, this I've had a conversation with a couple of comics. The pandemic has brought it out the most. Who actually kind of cares about you or whatever, or who...
Yeah, I figured it out, yeah.
Well, I think this amplified it, too. I think this whole thing was more like...
And then you find out that there's people that really care about you that you didn't know.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
You know what I mean? Like, Joey Diaz fucking checked on me a lot.
Yeah?
I love that guy.
Yeah, he's a solid fucking dude.
And in all fairness, we've never actually hung out in real life.
But I don't think that matters.
Because he would call me, tell me something good, baby.
Yeah.
How's everything doing? How's the family? Cocksucker. You know?
Yeah, because he knows, because Joey started at zero. You know what I mean? Probably negative more than... He probably started in the negatives. You know what I mean? Like, Joey used to sleep on a friend of mine's couch. And, you know. Talk about a guy that made it from zero to wildly successful to building an audience. When people have, over the years, tried to silence him or stop him, it's really great for him to be like, fuck you, dude. I'm a comedian.
And
I make
he's
a living
fucking
joking.
Great, great human being.
Yeah, he is. That's why he got the fuck out of L.A.
Yeah. Hey, move back to Jersey.
Yeah, smart man, dude. At some point, we should all leave.
Yeah.
Except for you, your kids. You know what I mean? You're fucked.
Listen, I think I could move to Texas, not because everybody's going there, but because... I know that my daughter's mother's boyfriend lives there, so my daughter's mother would go.
Right.
But it's my son's mother I would have the problem with.
Will you have her killed?
No, I don't even want to say that on here.
I did.
Because I know that she'll fucking hear it and then go, did you hear that in court? He wants to have me killed. I'm like, no. I do not want to have this bitch killed.
That would be the greatest in court.
Can we get that
court.
Part out of this?
I don't want this bitch killed in court. All right, well, look, we end the episode the same way. You look in the camera, you say one word or one phrase that ends the episode, and this is how everyone will remember you from this episode. So I'm off camera, wait till I'm off. One word or one phrase to end the episode. Go ahead when you're ready.
Is the camera on me?
Oh, yeah, babe.
Potato legs.
In here, we pour whiskey.
You are that creature in the ginger beard.
Sturdy and ginger.
Like vampires, the ginger gene is a curse.
Gingers are beautiful.
You owe me $5 for the whiskey and $75 for the horse.
Gingers, oh hell no.
This whiskey is excellent.
Ginger. I like gingers.